This is Audible.
Tempting James, The Hawk Fortune Book 2, written by Victoria Pinder, narrated by Nicole Blessing. Chapter 1. Scarlett needed a husband now. She paced the boardroom of her company and tried not to think about how her parents had been almost mowed down by a gunman on the street. At least they had been wearing bulletproof vests and were fine. The pressure of what if had kept her up all night. She hadn't been able to focus on anything, and right now, for work, she needed to find a temporary husband for herself. Outside, people walked in from swimming back to the beach in bright daylight, while the palm trees swayed in the breeze. It was just another day in Miami for those people. But her mind swirled with the what-if questions that never stopped. If her father hadn't taken precautions against an assassination attempt, she might not have seen them ever again. Her last stupid fight with her mother over her choice of a blue or red skirt seemed so stupid now. Her secretary buzzed in and said, "He's back." Right. James, the guy who'd showed up an hour ago, without references, and told her secretary Maria that he was here to be her bodyguard. She'd instructed her secretary on the intercom to send him away, but now Maria assured her that he checked out. Maria had even called her brother Gabe, who confirmed he'd hired him, and of course her brother thought she wasn't capable on her own. Her hands went into fists, but then she unclenched them. Gabe wasn't here to tell off. She crossed her arms, ready to meet this donut-eating wannabe cop. Then her gaze met the blue eyes of one of the most attractive, rough around the edges, bad boys she'd seen in a long time. In her makeup company, Sundarada, she was surrounded by physically perfect male models, but they all lacked something intangible. This bodyguard was all testosterone and sex on a stick. Her breath caught in her chest, but then she caught herself. Serious businesswomen didn't flirt, and she was the CEO of a legitimate business. "I don't need a bodyguard, Princess. It's Scarlett or Ms. Hawk." He was her brother's friend, clearly. To avoid him, she flipped her hair and turned toward the window. She had no time for someone who talked down to her, in the same way that she had no time for one of her siblings who tried to annoy her. "Use my name or see yourself out right now." He stepped closer, and her pulse ached for his touch. Bodyguards were not supposed to turn her on, especially not when she had all these fires to put out in her life. The contract with Max Shepard would help grow her company, and work was all she could handle at the moment. "Scarlett, your brother hired me to protect you, and despite my better judgment, I agreed, because someone tried to assassinate both your parents, and there are threats against your entire family. Your brother trusts me, and only he tells me when to leave." Her head was full of pressure that was about to explode, but her anger would be directed toward Gabe when she saw him next. She swallowed her pride, straightened her skirt, and remembered that the island resort where her business conference was to be held was full of makeup executives. Assassins tended to stay local, or at least she'd like to think so. She crossed her arms and tried to speak with as much determination as she could muster. "Gabe means well, but I'm going on a business trip where I'm not leaving the hotel for a week. By the time I get back, this will all be over."
"Everyone I know can buy a plane ticket, and you're not exactly low profile, Miss Hawk."
Right. She was known as the daughter of the Hawk fortune, and an international shopper with expensive tastes, welcome in every exclusive shop. This time, she was going to be more, though, and the contract would put her company on a world map without her daddy's credit card. James moved closer, and something sent a lightning bolt of awareness through her. She saw the hint of a tattoo under that blue t-shirt of his. As a girl, she'd wished for a dreamy-looking guy like him to come and find her at her prestigious academy, to show her the world. No guy ever measured up to fantasy. She dropped her arms from her waist, but held her wrists together to ensure he had no clue how he affected her pulse. "Where on earth did my brother meet someone like you?"
"Marines."
"Naturally." She took a deep breath and wished it was a cold shower. She needed to stop imagining that Marine equaled strength or that he might protect her. No one could. Then she brushed her hair out of her eyes. "The way you stand should have given that away."
"Excuse me? Right now, she had to find a husband, not a bad boy bodyguard who must love flag and country over protecting someone like her, a socialite originally from New York. His kind hated her. She needed to find the buttons to push to make him go away. It was for their own good. Rolling her eyes, Scarlet mustered up her acting chops. However, the scruffy 5 o'clock shadow shows you gave that lifestyle up, and that tattoo on your arm tells me you no longer care about anyone or anything. Look, you are probably good at security while serving overseas, but I run a business. James didn't even blink.
Gabe warned me that you were high maintenance.
My brother doesn't know me anymore. Her hands balled into fists. Everyone in the Hawk family took Olivia and Gabe seriously, but they still expected Scarlett to be the one out shopping. No one understood that her makeup business was important to her, and the hundreds of people she now employed. That number could soon be in the thousands if she scored the contract with Shepard. And your services will get in my way.
Then explain to me why you'd rather continue your life as you know it, without anyone next to you, when you know an assassin shot at your parents from the top of a building. If you're next on the list, why would you even take a chance, Scarlet?
Because he'd be a complicated husband and confuse her. He'd not be worth the trouble. She couldn't say that, so she had nothing to say. Drat.
I'm listening.
The truth was the only thing in her mind. She'd have to tell him. Images of them in bed while he kissed her, hard and demanding, flooded her thoughts, and a sigh escaped her lips. I'm going to an island resort to settle a deal. And I need a husband, not a bodyguard.
His eyes widened. Excuse me?
Nothing drove a bad boy away faster than the thought of marriage. She stepped away from him and felt cold air-conditioned air hit her overheated body. She stared out at the swaying palm truss and the people walking by. My makeup company is still in its infancy, but we use organic products, and we have a cult-like clientele that buys everything we produce. I built my brand on the idea that a beautiful woman can have anything she wants, and that includes a man. My investors want to merge Sundorada with a larger conglomerate, but I have to be the face of my company. He crossed his arms and stood beside her. Quietly, they both gazed out the huge bay windows of her beachfront premise.
I'm not following, James said after a moment.
If she used him for this trip, he'd ask so many questions and fill her head with thoughts she had no time for. Being attracted to her brother's friend meant her brother would try to influence her life again. It was best for both of them if she pushed him away and never admitted how her body ached to be closer to him. She lifted her chin, mentally said a prayer to help her, and thought of the rudest way to phrase what she was going to say next. I'll use easier words then. I don't need a bodyguard. I need a husband, and you're not even close to what might qualify as a good candidate. You look blue-collar and smell like sin on a motorcycle. He blinked.
What? Sin on a motorcycle?
That was what he chose to focus on? She was never going to explain the fantasy of sex on a motorcycle that had popped into her head the moment she saw him. Never. Everyone assumed she was the privileged daughter who spent her days and nights in the finest of luxury, haughty and spoiled like a princess. Well, it was time to muster up the princess act. She peered down her nose. Did I insult you, Mr.? I don't know your last name, James. He bowed, mocking her.
James Clancy, Your Highness.
Scarlet Hawk.
I know. I know your brother.
Look, I don't have the time to play semantics. The name Clancy took her by surprise, but she merely held out her hand like the reigning monarch in this play. Clancy was a common name, and it was unlikely he would be any relation to her father's friend. She'd know him if that was true. So she dismissed the thought and focused on getting rid of him. Once he left, she'd hire her own bodyguard and temporary husband, most likely a pretty model type that she'd never be attracted to. Now, Mr. Clancy, I have to continue my interviews for this husband I need. She could take care of herself, and she didn't need Gabe's interference in her life. Trying to pay as little attention as possible to James, she walked to the boardroom table that was set up for interviews and opened her folder. He followed her. Taking a seat next to her, he blatantly stared at the names on her list.
How long do you need a husband for?
James qualified for sex, and heartache when he left. He might be a good bodyguard, but husband material was out of the question. She picked up her pen. Are you volunteering?
How long?
Her mind raced to think of something clever to say, but she wasn't capable of thinking on her feet like that. He'd never volunteer anyhow, so she settled on the truth. A week at least, though I'd rather a month to ensure all the contracts are signed and no one takes anything away. He leaned backwards in his chair and rocked it.
I'd scare off any man who walks in for that job.
True, but secretly, that was fine with her. She fixed her necklace around her neck. She hadn't counted on him making her want to run her hands through his hair and strip off all his clothes. Most attractive men left her cold and indifferent, and she had to remind herself that James was her brother's friend. She pointed towards the door with a pen, which is why you should leave. He shook his head. When was the last time she'd even thought about a man like this? College, maybe? But she'd never actually dated anyone who made her body this hot, from simply being next to him. His presence was so distracting, she almost missed what he said.
Scarlet, I promised your brother that I'd protect you.
The words took a second to register. She dropped her pen and turned toward him. Why?
Why what?
He might look like her dream bad boy, one her parents would never approve of, but he was a boring Boy Scout at heart. She crossed her legs. Why would that promise matter to you?
Miss Hawk, you want your head in one piece, so I suggest we come to an agreement.
That wasn't an answer. Her head in one piece was her goal, too, but more important was building her company with none of her parents' money. Her company wasn't tied to the Hawk name, and she wanted to keep it that way. She gazed into those baby blues of his again. James, you're not bad-looking, but we both know you being a Marine and Boy Scout means you hold honor in high regard, and my blasé attitude toward marriage right now probably offended your morality.
That sounds like Gabe.
Her brother always was the moral one. She turned and picked up her pen again. He hasn't changed. James placed his hand on hers, making her jolt as he said,
I'm not your brother, Miss Hawk. A month-long marriage and my job to protect you go together. I'll marry you, and we'll set the date and time for the divorce on our honeymoon.
Business. That was all this was. She had to think those words to stay sane, because the way the words marry you played in her heart, like a stringed bow playing a love song on repeat, wasn't good. You didn't ask what the pay will be.
I owe Gabe. Protecting you might be payback.
Oh, Gabe? Her brother typically only associated with billionaires who thought money was the only way out of a situation, and James Clancy wore jeans that had seen better days and a threadbare t-shirt. She unbuttoned the top button of her blouse while she imagined his lips on her exposed neck. This wasn't good. She played with her necklace again. What did he do for you that you're not asking for payment?
He didn't let me go back to prison. Now if that's all, Scarlet, it seems I need a shave before we say I do.
Don't. I like scruffy looking. Gives you an edge. She watched him walk to the door and check it out. Then he held out his arm for her, like he wanted her to follow him. She stood up. And I'm sorry I was rude earlier. I thought it would send you away.
Takes more than words to send me packing.
Unsure what else to do, she picked up her folder and joined him. Okay, let's do this. He winked at her.
This might be my only wedding ever, so humor me. Wear white.
Of course. Today they'd be married, and tonight they'd fly to Grand Bohemia. That was the plan, but with James, she couldn't imagine the plan staying on track. Desire shook her on the inside and knocked her right off course. Chapter 2. Wear this one. Scarlet brushed against him as he buttoned up his shirt under the light tuxedo that made him look like a waiter. Her rounded backside wasn't typical of the stick figures he seemed to surround himself with lately. Scarlet was slim, but James had a feeling her curves would feel perfect under his calloused hands. She was easily the most attractive woman he'd seen in years. He stared at himself, remembering the form-fitting black tuxedo he tried on earlier, and for a moment had a vision of being a spy who gambled in Monte Carlo. Not that this mission was anything like what he saw in the movies. He glanced at Scarlet, who unwrapped the bow tie that went with the waiter outfit. He made the face he always used to show his mother that he disapproved.
It's gray. I prefer black.
She stood beside him and crossed her arms, her blue eyes sparkling with energy and emotion. Your blue eyes pop more with gray. His pale blue eyes were nothing compared to her deep blue wells of hidden depths. He unbuttoned the vest. If today was going to be his wedding day, then he might as well enjoy it. This was the only wedding he'd have after all.
I still prefer black, Scarlet.
She shrugged and watched him undress down to his black boxer briefs. Despite her feigned indifference, every time he let her see his body, the raw hunger in her eyes gave her away. She turned her head to pretend she hadn't noticed him. Fine. Lucky the store owner is a friend of mine.
You mean a business acquaintance?
He doubted Scarlet had friends. She was rather high maintenance, just like her brother said, but she was also more vulnerable than she let people believe. Her white and blue suit must have been made just for her, and probably cost more than most people made in a year. That was obvious from how it hugged every hot curve. Whatever was causing her to get married in a hurry likely had nothing to do with the threat against her family, but he needed to know all the angles in order to protect her. Both. She shrugged and walked out of the dressing room toward the cash register while he tugged on his pants. The last thing he needed was for her to pay. He pulled his blue t-shirt over his head and slipped his shoes on while she handed over her credit card. Clearly, she thought she was paying for him. The blonde bombshell returned just as he finished dressing. Now that you have your wedding suit and a few business ones for our trip, it's time to go. Here's to our date with the disaster. If he argued with her, she'd ask questions about his life that he'd refuse to answer. It was better to let her think he had no money.
Why are we getting married exactly?
Does it matter? She picked up his bags from the cashier on the way out, giving him time to step out first and glance around the buildings. Any rooftop assassin wouldn't get enough cover with the low buildings. As she exited the store, he took the bags from her and led her to the waiting town car before helping her inside. The next stop on their list of errands was the courthouse.
Yes, I'm here to protect you.
Don't use that tone. He hadn't yelled. His eyes narrowed.
What tone?
The tone that makes me think about you and your sexy shoulders protecting me. He could feel a smile growing on his face, and he was sure his dimples would show. Scarlet's classic beauty had a fragility to it that made her seem more than the spoiled rich girl that she let the world see. The driver didn't say a word while they were driving, but James kept his voice low anyhow.
It's my job, Scarlet. Now why do you need to get married?
For a fraction of a second, she seemed petrified. Then she loosened her lips, but kept her hands on her waist like she was hugging herself. Everyone assumes I know nothing, and that I'm Daddy's little girl with a credit card. I majored in chemistry, but it didn't change anyone's opinions, including my investors. My makeup brand had over $1 million in gross sales last year, but people still see the image of Scarlet Hawk and not me. He'd studied biomedical engineering when he finally went to college, but if the girls in the chemistry department had been like Scarlet, he'd have changed his career plans. Either way, that didn't have anything to do with now. The driver turned onto Biscayne, which meant they were a few minutes away from this wedding.
How does getting married help that?
It shows that I'm willing to be stable, as well as a businesswoman. I'm in talks for a conglomerate to come in with a lot of money, and I need to show that I'm in their best interest.
Okay.
She'd grown up rich. I hope I can get premium placement at Nordstrom by the beginning of the next fiscal year.
Good luck.
She must not have known how an uncle he never met had died and left him in charge of Clancy Industries, an empire that included shipping to every major department store in the country. But he'd been focusing his attention on applied sciences, and he wasn't advertising he was the heir to anything to anyone, including his about-to-be wife. So why did you agree to protect me? Don't give me that line about owing my brother again. She made a motion for them to stop at a store. The driver searched for a place to park, while James gazed at the surrounding buildings. The police station was across the street, and there were a few palm trees, but nothing major where someone could shoot from a distance.
I do owe him.
They were stopping at the bridal boutique on Miracle Mile, so she must be picking up her wedding dress. This time, she waited for his signal, and they rushed inside. Within seconds, she went to the register
and paid for what he assumed was a dress and a garment bag. Once they were gone, he escorted her back to the car, handed the dress to the driver, and helped her inside. As he scooted in, she asked, "How did Gabe save you from prison?" Gabe had known him before his entire world changed. For Scarlett, right now, it was better that they make this deal without her knowing who he was.
"I spent most of my teenage years in a detention center, and then I joined the military. After training, I was placed in my first unit, and when the theft of military secrets put my entire unit in danger, the MPs arrested me. They assumed it was me because I'd been in trouble my whole life."
"And my brother bailed you out?" The driver began to drive them to their final destination. He turned off Biscayne 2 minutes later, and onto a side street.
"Your brother not only bailed me out, he figured out I was set up, and asked for my help to find out who stole the plans.
And then there was the explosion that left my brother burned?" In the desert, his team Colt, Bell, Gabe, Harrison, and Connor were the closest thing he'd had to family in years. The day Gabe was burned, they'd been attacked by some ninja assassin straight out of a movie. He was young, but he had tried to kill all of us, and nearly succeeded in Gabe's case. At the last second, the boy changed his mind and stopped, so James helped Gabe, but none of this was for Scarlett's ears.
"I was there, but he almost died because I wasn't fast enough."
"Did you leave him to die?"
"No."
If Scarlett knew he'd almost lost her brother, she might not trust him now. The car stopped, and his pulse quickened. They'd arrived at the courthouse.
"We pulled him out, but we were there because I wanted revenge."
"My brother is fine, and you're working in security. I would say he owes you his life."
"Gabe doesn't owe me anything."
He checked the surroundings and saw no signs of any place for a long-distance shot on the way to the door. Security would be tight inside. He helped Scarlett out, and she dropped his arm, went to the back, met the driver who gave her the garment bag and headed inside. The driver shook his head and returned to the car. A policewoman was stationed near the ladies' room that Scarlett intended to go to. "Go get dressed." She pointed towards the men's room for him.
"Right."
Time to change for his own wedding. He spoke to the guard about Scarlett, waited a minute, then finally headed into the men's room to put on his tux. 2 minutes later, he was dressed and waiting. The clock ticked and minutes rolled by. Anything might have happened, and he had no idea if there were windows inside the ladies' room for an assassin to get to her. The men's room didn't have any, but that didn't mean anything. He was about to knock on the door when she finally emerged. She wore a form-fitting, silky-smooth dress that hugged her in all the right places, making his hands ache to touch and feel her. She handed the driver her bags and then took James's arm. "Are you ready for this, or should I find someone else?" He led her toward the line to get a marriage certificate.
"Getting married at a courthouse and going to a conference for a honeymoon is what I always wanted out of life."
"I'm sure." In front of them was a young couple, the girl in a simple knee-length dress and a boy in a suit that was too big for him. Neither seemed like assassins to him. Scarlett reached into her pocketbook. "Wait, I need you to sign this."
"What is it?"
He opened it and glanced at the document. It said they would both continue to keep whatever assets they possessed before this date, and that any profits their own assets earned were separate property, and not subject to division in case of divorce. "It's a prenup in case of..."
"Say no more."
He waved his hand, picked up a nearby pen from the cashier's counter, and signed it.
"Here you go."
"Can we discuss payment?"
"Your brother paid me. To me, this is the same job."
The last thing he needed was more money. He handed the marriage license application Scarlett had already filled out to the cashier. The lady motioned for them to go to window 14, so they followed the young couple and waited for their turn. James motioned toward the black plastic chairs. Scarlett lifted her nose and refused to sit. "Did you have a wife or girlfriend that might think different?" she asked.
"No, I'm free of commitments."
The young couple was called into the office. They were now next. Scarlett suddenly took both his hands in hers, and the jolt he felt when their fingers touched overwhelmed him. No girl was this sweet. Not to him. "James, if I don't say this later, thank you." Thanks weren't what he wanted. Her lips on his while he stripped her of clothes would be better, but he owed her brother respect. He let her hands go.
"Let's get this over with."
The young couple emerged a few minutes later. Any second it would be his turn. He stared at the number 14, trying to will everything to go faster, until someone bumped into him. Looking up, he was surprised to see Sienna Stewart in a black skirt suit and button-down shirt. He hadn't seen her since she'd helped him straighten out his inheritance, though he technically paid her weekly to be Clancy Industries' internal counsel. She took off her glasses.
James, congratulations. I'm in shock you're here. When we dated those few times, you said you weren't ever getting married.
Glad to see you found the one.
Hello. Thanks. We're both happy.
Well, if you need me for anything, let me know.
She then took off and continued talking to some other man who must be a lawyer. Scarlet tugged on his arm, and he turned back toward a face that could launch those thousand ships in the Iliad. Her eyes were wide. You run into exes all the time, wherever you go?
I don't.
Who is she? Why didn't she say hi to me? When he'd found out he had an inheritance that required work, he needed a lawyer's advice. After that, he hired her to stay on full time and watch out for the company's interests. He unbuttoned his tux jacket as the clerk motioned she was ready for them.
Sienna is an attorney. We shared a few meals last year.
Let me guess. You didn't call her in the morning. He guided her toward the door.
Relationships aren't my thing.
Well then, let's get inside and change that for a month.
After a month, you'll be happy to be rid of me.
If you say so. As he entered the room after her, James reminded himself that the beautiful and sexy woman in front of him was off limits. Scarlet was the sister of a friend, and he'd need to keep his distance while on a tropical resort with her. This job had to remain platonic, even if Scarlet set his temperature ablaze.
Chapter 3.
The second Scarlet's private plane landed, she turned toward her new husband, who had been working on his laptop since they took off, and gazed at him. They were legally married, though the distance between them felt like the Grand Canyon, and the silence hadn't helped. James was in his blue jeans and t-shirt again, while she'd changed into a white button-down shirt, black business suit, and matching sandals to show off her French pedicure. Even their clothing made the cultural differences between them obvious. Either way, she'd pull this off, and everyone would believe they were married. She'd get her contract, prove herself, and everything would be perfect. She stood up and brushed her hands down her dress to ensure she had no wrinkles. James, let me introduce you, and don't worry about anything. He closed his laptop and slipped it into a bag.
Scarlet, I'm here to protect you.
I know. I'm leaving you in charge of keeping me safe. She'd married a man her brother clearly thought highly of, and while he wasn't her first choice, it was a choice she'd made. James's blue jeans and t-shirts were good for the short term, and perhaps one day her fantasies about a bad boy might come true. Most of the stuff she thought about James was mostly of her own making.
Kind of you.
She picked up her pocketbook and fluffed her hair, ready to dazzle whoever she might need to help her company succeed. Then she took a step toward the door. Let's go.
Wait.
He reached out and gently grabbed her shoulder. She turned toward him, and a moment later, his hard lips were on hers. In his arms, she melted like the ice caps on a warm summer day, and she never wanted the moment to end. She wrapped her arms around his shoulders with only one thought in mind. This was what being his would be like. He kissed better than she ever dreamed any man might. As he pulled away, he rubbed her cheek with his finger. She was lost at sea for another second, but slowly her mind returned. Why did you do that? He winked and let her go.
No one would buy we're married if I hadn't.
Oh, okay. She hugged her pocketbook to her waist, as her thoughts weren't up to being witty with a comeback. She blinked once, fixed her skirt, took a moment, and turned to go. He came beside her and held out his hand.
Just hold my hand.
Always. Had she just said that? Really? She lowered her head as they walked into the sunny airport next to the blue waters of the island. He led her toward the hangar, where their car was waiting. A minute later, they were on their way to the hotel. Her pulse seemed to center on his hand the entire ride. Truthfully, even her boyfriends hadn't made her feel this possessed. how James held her had made her feel special and struck chords deep inside her. The car pulled into the nearby hotel, and terror seized her entire body, making her stiff and unable to move. For a second, she released her hand and clutched her pocketbook, while James exited and checked the perimeter. Once she'd remastered the art of breathing, she checked her makeup and scooted toward the door. Before exiting, she fluffed her hair again and offered her hand. James took it. As he held the door open for her, Scarlet could already see the president of Leviathan Incorporated in the lobby. He would be a good potential investor if her first choice fell through. She smiled and directed them toward him. "Max, lovely to see you. James, this is Max Braddock." Braddock paid her no attention and shook James's hand with a huge smile on his face. As the seconds wore on, she pressed her other hand on James's shoulder to get his attention. Braddock then turned toward her.
"Mr. Clancy, I had no idea you knew Scarlet."
Recognition between the two of them was a dark cloud she hadn't expected. Scarlet smiled, but couldn't understand how James would know someone as important as the president of Leviathan Incorporated. Had James protected Braddock in the past as security? It was too late to check into James's background. She had been too determined to get married and forgotten to check who she was getting married to, beyond her phone call to Gabe. Scarlet swallowed and said, "He's my husband. How did you know James's last name was Clancy?" James then tapped his jacket.
"Name tag?"
No, they weren't wearing name tags yet. Braddock was, but Maria Sophie's from Claremont Cosmetics joined the party before Scarlet could think too much about it. Braddock immediately introduced her.
"Maria, Mr. Clancy is Scarlet's husband."
Maria reached out and kissed James's cheek. "James Clancy, I've been angling for an appointment with your secretary for a year." The bodyguard's story made no sense now. Maria spent her days in a cosmetic company, the same as Scarlet. She never needed muscled backup normally. Scarlet glanced at James's profile. The hint of that tribal tattoo on his upper arm peeked out of his shirt. She pursed her lips and took her hands off him. "Appointment?" He instantly wrapped his arms around her waist.
"Scarlet, sweetheart, don't worry about it. You're still my number one."
He kissed her cheek, and that act alone made her insides feel like a pudding. Maria said, "Scarlet, I wanted your husband to come in on a business that I believe will make us both money." "I see, Maria." She stared at James. None of this made any sense. Her husband couldn't help Maria in cosmetics. James kept his hand on the small of her back.
"Sweetheart, can I talk to you alone for a minute?"
"Sure." She air-kissed Maria, and James nodded goodbye to Braddock. They made their way over to a nook overlooking a pool next to the ocean. James stayed close enough to kiss. Her lips tingled in anticipation, but she ignored the sensation in favor of focusing on the matter at hand. "What's going on, Mr. Clancy? Why would Maria Davies want to work with you? Who are you exactly?"
"Your bodyguard."
"No. Who did I just marry?" He then leaned even closer. Her heart raced.
"James Clancy, CEO of Clancy Industries."
Clancy Industries was owned by a man old enough to be her grandfather, and Scarlet had taken the company off her list of investors because he had been her father's friend. She'd met him during one of her parents' parties. Bernard Clancy died. He had no children.
"I was his nephew. Growing up, my mother certainly never mentioned Uncle Bernie."
Her pulse raced. This meant James wasn't a bad boy at all. He was privileged and wealthy, which was the opposite of what she needed. "You should have told me this before."
"And what? Have you interviewed men that can't protect you?"
Her heart hadn't been on the line before now. It had just been a business deal. She rearranged her pocketbook and ignored how close they were. At least they wouldn't have hurt my chance to prove myself.
"What?"
His hand settled on her hips, like she was already his.
"Scarlet, we're on a beautiful island in the tropics, and you're getting the chance to negotiate whatever deal you want for your company."
Not how she intended, though. She met his gaze and tried to explain. "With you as my husband, I'll get a yes, simply through association. For once in my life, I wanted it to happen because of my work, and not my family name."
"It's still your work, Scarlet.
It's your company, and you built it. You wouldn't understand what it's like to be considered the girl with Daddy's credit card and never taken seriously.
No, I wouldn't. But I don't think you'd understand what it's like to go without that credit card and to worry about where your next meal comes from, so we're even.
Don't act like you've ever suffered as CEO of Clancy Industries. James came closer, and his lips were less than an inch from hers. Again, her tingles of anticipation for a kiss grew.
Everything I told you about myself was true, Scarlett. I had no idea about my Uncle Bernie until he died. I broke my mother's heart at 14, when they sent me to a juvenile detention center to get me off the streets. Without me, I hoped she'd have more food for herself. But then my mother died, and I was alone in the world. The Marines were my best shot.
James, you should have told me. She closed her eyes as his lips met hers. His kiss made her knees weak, and she clung to him desperately. Everything else was forgotten for the moment they touched, and Scarlett thought if he kissed her like this one more time, she'd be addicted. As he ended the kiss, her lips already ached to be kissed again.
"And you should have figured out a way to get these appointments without marrying yourself off," he said.
"Don't judge me." She crossed her arms. There was no way out of this now. The ring on her finger showed her determination, and she'd do anything. He stepped away, but held out his hand.
"Scarlett, come here."
"Why?" Even as she said it, she was taking his hand.
He led her toward the check-in counter. "You're a complication for me, too."
"How?" While they waited for someone to serve them and give them the keys to their room, he kissed her again. Fireworks exploded, and she forgot where they were. Then someone somewhere said,
"Next."
He squeezed her hand.
"Now let's check in and get settled, while I think about what I owe your brother, so I don't do anything more than kiss you."
No, she had to taste and be his fully. It wasn't wise. She should go into the conference and mingle. But for right now, she needed all of James first. If she had to, she'd strip naked. "Go ahead and try to forget this is our honeymoon," she said as they walked to the check-in counter. "I dare you." Chapter 4. At the door to the honeymoon suite, Scarlett refused to give James time to even think. She turned the handle, floated in, and dropped her bag on the nearby table. James followed her at a slower pace as she tugged off her cardigan and threw it on the floor. Her shoes came next as he closed the door behind him. She turned back toward him, and now they were alone. Since she'd married him, she'd wanted to know what it felt to be his entirely. Right now, she'd forget everything logical, sane, and cold. Nothing mattered except for how she felt about him. Perhaps tomorrow she'd be different. But right now, she needed him. She needed to be with him. So she unbuttoned her shirt and let him see a flash of her pink bra.
"I shouldn't."
He put his hands in his pockets. Scarlett Hawk decided her life, including her sex life. Outside on the patio, she heard parrots playing in the palm trees. Here, she could do anything she wanted. No one would know. She untucked her shirt and dropped it on the ground. His eyes grew wider as she walked closer to stand in front of him. "I want you."
"I'll hurt you."
He stepped away from her. For once, she wasn't going to simply walk away and not do anything. Her heart beat faster as she unzipped her body-hugging skirt. If she was going to seduce him, then she had to be bold, despite her nerves practically making her shake. She lifted her chin and met his blue eyes. "I'll like it."
"Put your skirt on,"
he said, but she could see he was interested. All her life, she'd been the good girl. Now she wanted him, and nothing was going to stop her. She unhooked her bra and leaned forward, pressing herself to him as she whispered in his ear, "I'm getting naked. I hope you'll join me." She could feel his erection growing against her, large and throbbing.
"Scarlett,"
he said, voice strained.
"I still owe your brother."
Gabe wasn't here, and her brother never had a say in who she dated anyway. She wasn't about to let him have even one ounce of say now. She kissed James's cheek and then stepped away to drop her bra. "You're married to me. I think for this month, my needs matter."
He took his hands out of his pockets and stepped closer to her, the smell of his testosterone mixed with pine, making her think of a secluded woodsy cabin. He wrapped his arms around her.
He'll never forgive me.
And I'll never forgive you if you don't. Then his lips captured hers. Fireworks exploded inside her, and she wanted to follow him to the bed. However, that wouldn't make her point. All her teasing had led to this moment, but the moment their lips ended the kiss, she swallowed. Her heart whispered that she was making a mistake right now, and was being impulsive. Drat. She couldn't shake the idea, so she gently pushed his shoulder and said, "Mr. Clancy, I want a divorce." His phone rang, giving her a moment as he checked the screen. She'd have no answer if he asked why she went hot and cold, other than she knew she was wrong. He stepped back and covered his erection, but as he put his phone back in his pocket, he said,
"I figured we were going to have the shortest marriage. You didn't even blink when I said I do with my last name in the ceremony."
She unzipped her bag and found a blue wrap dress, pulling it on even though the silk material felt rough to her oversensitive skin. "I didn't make the connection. Clancy isn't a unique name."
"Because you have selective vision, and me being rich didn't fit in with your plan."
She dismissed him wrongly because of his clothes and that tattoo of his. Now fully dressed again, she adjusted her necklace and glared at him. She was still hot for him, but he had no right to know that.
"Your kiss doesn't change how angry I am at you. Why did you marry me and let me believe your lie?"
"Because you asked. And if that was you angry, I can't wait to see you begging for me."
"Never going to happen."
She ignored what had just happened and focused on something else. She rolled her eyes and then picked up two shoes, gold and black, and pretended she had a tough decision to make. "You must get women wanting to marry you all the time."
"Doesn't matter."
"Yes, it does. With you at my side, no one takes me seriously." She put the gold shoes on the floor, but didn't put them on. Perhaps now that she'd pushed and then let things relax between them, they might start over again.
"Let them laugh."
"That's not it, James. No one will laugh, but I was on a mission to prove my own business skills." She sat on the bed, alone. James adjusted his pants and then sat beside her, patting her on the back like they were friends.
"Scarlett, your last name comes with the same baggage as mine does. You are your father's daughter."
He had a point. If she'd thought that he was both everything her parents wanted for her and her brother's friend, there was no way she would have been attracted to him. Her heart whispered that she was lying to herself, but she folded her hands on her lap and turned toward him. "I've been seen most of my life as a girl who only spends her father's money on needless things."
"And starting a makeup company proves you're serious?"
Sighing, she stood up and walked toward their balcony. Without a thought, she threw open the doors and looked out at the ocean that surrounded them. James raced outside and stared around for any snipers. She should have waited. Once he was done and closed the door to not let the air conditioning escape, she stood at the edge and looked down at the white sandy beach. "You make money at your passion. My passion is in makeup and fashion, but I can't sew. I am good at mixing ingredients and chemistry, though, and I designed every product with my name on it. It's not a celebrity endorsement where someone else does everything. I'm serious about my work."
"I take you seriously."
James put his hand on her back, and his touch sent a jolt through her. If he kissed her here, it would be idyllic. She stared at his lips, doubtful. He sighed and then turned toward the ocean.
"No one in years has seemed more genuine or determined to me, and you had no idea what I inherited."
"I'm losing my mind." She shouldn't be thinking about kissing him, not after the lesson she'd tried and failed to teach him in there. Now it felt like her actions had teased herself more than anything else. She leaned against the white awning of the balcony to peer down again. The view really was beautiful, and she could not say she was disappointed. He turned.
"Nothing dinner and a few glasses of wine won't help you with. Would you want to get to know me over dinner?"
Being friends with James would be a good start, and she needed to drop all the assumptions she'd made about him. Besides, the investor she most wanted to meet was older, and probably not going to mingle in the early evening. Spending the rest of the evening with James would be good. She nodded. "Sounds lovely.
Tomorrow we'll find my investors, as the conference officially begins then.
Good. He opened the door to go in.
The last thing she'd do was let him control her entirely. She lifted her nose, smelled the scent of testosterone and home, and said, "Get changed. I'll order us room service." He went to take a shower while she ordered the food. She tidied the room, picking up the scattered aftermath of throwing her clothes everywhere. Once she was done, she heard the shower turn off and someone knock on the door at the same time. She called out to James, "There's someone at the door." If someone wanted to kill her, knocking on her hotel room and getting her to open it would be a rather easy way. She hugged her waist, sat near the desk, and felt cold until James opened the bathroom door. He strolled past her wrapped in nothing but a towel. The sight of him warmed her. She turned away so he wouldn't see how she was affected by his presence. Being attracted to her temporary husband was never part of the plan. James checked the door, then let in a hotel employee, who pushed in a cart with food dishes. She stood up from the desk and walked to the small patio table to direct the server outside. They were in grand Bohemia. For one night, she could let the breeze brush against them and hope that it might quell her growing libido. The other thing that might stop her dreams of James was the real version of him, and not the fantasy she'd constructed in her head. Maybe he ate with his mouth open, or had some other disgusting habit. She tipped the server, and he left. Once the door closed, Scarlett watched as James inside the room rifle through his bag, pull out some clothes, and stepped into a pair of sweatpants, without any underwear, and pulled on a light green shirt. She clutched her pendant and pretended not to watch. Alone for dinner. She hugged her waist and pretended another kiss wasn't exactly what she wanted. Outside on the patio, as the sun set, they were about to eat a candlelight dinner. She swallowed and stared at the table when he returned. "James, I'm sorry. I thought you were just a cute but broke bodyguard, and then I was so angry at my brother.
I should have told you who I was."
"Yes, then I wouldn't have teased you. It wasn't my best laid-out plan." He massaged her arms, and she lowered them.
"You confuse me," he said.
"I have been hot and cold. I can be nicer."
"I liked that you had no idea who I was."
He sat back.
"It's just that everyone knows me these days. So it was refreshing when you told me exactly what you thought I was."
"If Bernie was your uncle, then you're a billionaire 10 times over, like my dad and my brother. I wanted to break free of them." He hugged her, and she let him hold her. Neither of them moved. In his arms, she felt like the world disappeared.
"At least your family loves you. I never knew my uncle or my father. They don't matter."
She looked up and stared at his chin and face. He was right. She always knew that her parents adored her.
"Do you blame them for your mother being poor?"
He let her go.
"Yeah, I guess I do."
"James, life is life." She stepped away from him and toward the ocean in the distance, warm air kissing her skin. It only made her body more wanton, and her nipples would have shown through her dress if not for the bra she'd snuck on while picking up her clothes. Right now, she needed to help him. "We can't change the past. If I could, I know I'd be more like my sister Olivia, and at least appear to be more of a problem solver than a party girl."
"Scarlett, you're many things, but I'd bet money you solve your own problems. Who are you here to meet, and why?"
This couldn't be clearer. Their relationship was based on business, and she needed to remember that. He led her to the table and pulled out her chair for her. "I'm here to meet Max Shepard," she said as she sat down. "He's a former CEO of Factor M Cosmetics. Right now, though, let's see, I'm hungry." He slipped into the seat opposite her.
"Me too, for more than food."
Between those blue eyes of his, the candlelight, and the waves crashing onto the beach below, tonight was going to be a night anything might happen. Right now, she just wanted James to throw the food aside and kiss her. Chapter 5. Scarlett gazed at James from across the table. He was everything she never wanted, with the body and soul of the man she always dreamed of. Her face blushed as she remembered his muscular frame, fresh out of the shower, strutting past to open the door. She picked up her glass of wine and lowered her lashes. I'm glad we're starting over. I know you're friends with Gabe. How did the two of you meet in the Marines? He wiped his lips with his napkin and dropped it on his knee.
We were assigned to the same unit, between your brother, Colt Collins, Connor Udine, and Harrison Hughes. I thought I was stuck babysitting the children of billionaires at first. It made me bitter and angry, and I wasn't that nice to your brother.
The image of someone not just blindly agreeing with a brilliant Gabe made her giggle. Though she knew if she shared the memory she was thinking of, she'd sound 10 years younger than she was. Gabe deserved a little wrath for years of torturing me. He leaned closer, and the reaction in his eyes made her heart beat faster.
What did he do to you?
She mimicked his actions and drew closer. As a boy, he cut the hair off all my dolls, just to watch me cry. A smile broke out on his face. He winked at her and adjusted his chair to sit closer.
And what did you do in response?
The nearness of him made her body feel ready for his every touch. I broke my own things, and then let my parents think he did it. He laughed.
So that's why he called you princess.
Guilty. The heat in her cheeks grew as she shared stories of exactly who she no longer wanted to be, but regressed into when near her family. What about you? Tell me a story from your childhood. He reached out and took her hand.
Scarlet, I don't have sibling stories that show I'm close to anyone. I've been alone for years now.
The notes of a slow song she loved wafted up from below. Not wanting to sour the mood, she stood up and held her hand out. Dance with me.
Why not?
He stood up too, taking her hand and pulling her close. The moment he wrapped his arms around her for a waltz, she smelled the pine scent of home. She relaxed and followed his lead. James, you're not what I expected. I feel whole here in your arms.
Scarlet, you're softer and sweeter than I was led to believe.
You heard that from my brother. Anyone would be softer and sweeter than expected if the description came from Gabe, she thought. James spun her on her heels, and as her hand met his once more in the dance, she spoke again. He still thinks I'm 14 and the brat I was. James shrugged as he showed off his waltzing skills.
Is that a sibling thing? I wouldn't know. I grew up feeling like my military unit was my family, before Maddox reminded me that was an illusion.
Maddox went after Gabe's family because he had wanted to steal computer files and was jealous that Gabe was smart enough to figure out how to stop his own computer virus that Maddox had stolen in the desert years ago. Where did you learn to dance then? His hand trailed lower onto the small of her back, and fireworks exploded inside her. If only this was happening inside their room and on the bed, though she wouldn't say that out loud.
In the Miami clubs, before I was rich. Girls like men who can dance.
Got it. So you were a relentless one-night stand.
All that from dancing?
Isn't that what happens in the club? James could have anyone he wanted, and must have on more than one occasion. But he held her close now. For tonight, they were all that mattered. She pressed her nose into his shoulder, letting the feeling of home wash through her for a second. What happened with Maddox and my brother and you? He stopped swaying and let her go. He ran his hand through his hair like he wanted to forget the memory.
Someone didn't put a few assault weapons and a grenade launcher back. They were found in my possession. Your brother went to the MPs when they were arresting me and stood up for me. Then, just like that, the MPs dropped the charges.
MP meant military police from what she overheard from her brother. She held her wrist and swallowed at the loss of his touch, goosebumps growing on her arms. For tonight, with no buildings around them, they were safe, and she could relax. She leaned against the wall and stared at the night sky. What did my brother say?
That he saw me put the weapons in the right place, and someone was framing me. They took his word.
James stood next to her and also leaned on the wall, staring at the stars and the moon that seemed to beam brighter than usual tonight. She turned and realized the blue of the faded sky now almost matched his eyes. She licked her lips and wished he'd kiss her.
But not yours? I never said anything.
He lifted his chin. Everyone always believes Gabe. He's the perfect one.
He's also a stand-up guy who I trust and respect.
So I'm off limits forever then, because Gabe is my brother?
Yeah.
Even if I decide to divorce him?
You can't divorce siblings. It's not a marriage.
Well, you should. How else will you kiss me again?
The last time.
Don't deny this. She pushed her hair behind her ears and whispered exactly how she felt. James, do you feel anything between us?
Scarlet, I shouldn't.
He said as he left the wall and leaned over her. Her eyes closed, and her lips parted. I shouldn't either. I don't want to ever bring home someone my parents might like.
Why?
He stopped. The reason made her sound like the child she was, and she shouldn't think like that. She lowered her head. Guess I'm not as mature as I pretend. She looked up again. I just want to keep them at arm's length, until I prove that I can be successful without them, like Gabe.
Your brother is a computer genius.
This wasn't going to get her that kiss. She sighed. No one would put genius and my name together, but I'm tenacious. He stroked her chin, leaning in closer. And beautiful. I am? She closed her eyes. And tempting and delicious. And my wife. His lips met hers again, and she felt like she was in heaven itself. Yes, they were married. And together. Don't make me wait, she said. He picked her up like she weighed nothing, and carried her off the balcony into their hotel room.
Are you sure?
Yes. He carried her all the way to their bed. This was it. She kept her arms around him and held him close until she tumbled onto the bed. Right now, she had to have him, and he was hers for the night. She climbed onto the mattress while he stripped off his t-shirt and dropped his sweatpants. Quickly, she unwrapped her dress and tugged off her bra. He joined her in the bed just as she finished undressing, and her entire body grew warm with the desire until he pressed himself on top of her. The weight of him made her feel wanted. He pushed her hair out of her face.
You're beautiful, Scarlet.
Another kiss rocked her entire body as she wrapped herself around him. The moment he broke the kiss, she needed him again. She needed far more of him. She wanted it all. She sighed. You already said that.
I should say it every day.
His lips trailed lower down her body to suck on her nipples. The way he flicked the nipple inside his lips made her ache with wanting, as she lost her ability to think and reached out to hold him. She moaned, and he pushed her hands out of his thick, coarse hair.
Put your hands behind your head.
No one ordered her around. She followed his directions, albeit reluctantly. Why?
Gives me access to your chest, he said.
At his words, she felt lost in a sea of desire. Every part of her was sensitive, needy, and ready for him. He went to her other breast, leaving the first one aching with need, as his hand checked her apex. She knew he could tell she was ready, not that she could say anything.
Push your legs apart.
Yes, sir. Somehow, the words spilled from her lips. She had no idea how they could be this good together, this fast, but she welcomed the weight of him. Then he pushed inside of her with a moan. Ah, James. No one had ever made her feel like this. With him, she was whole.
You took all of me, he said as he set the rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Nothing else could be said. This was perfect. She was owned, and she loved every moment.
You're mine,
he said as he quickened their pace, sending her eyes rolling backwards in her head. This must be why the French call an orgasm le petit mort, because every part of her felt present but unconscious. James Clancy was the best she'd ever had.
Chapter 6
James woke up slowly and propped his head up and stared at Scarlet, the gorgeous blonde who laid beside him on the pillow next to his. She held his hand under the sheets even as she slept. Her soft skin on his calloused fingers made him feel like a brute. Last night, she had taken all of him inside her. Most women weren't capable of that. She stirred, and his thoughts quieted. She opened her blue eyes, and he felt at peace in a way he never usually did. Withdrawing her hand, she tugged the sheets higher before she stretched. Good morning.
Don't tell me you're a morning person.
He narrowed his eyes and glared at her as she sat up and stretched more. A moment later, she bent down and kissed his nose, and he couldn't even pretend to be angry anymore.
Guilty as charged.
Don't feel guilty around me, ever.
He said as his heart sped up. There was a vulnerability in every move she made. She reached for her bag while still holding the sheet to protect her modesty, which was funny considering he'd seen every inch of her delicious body last night. As she dug through her bag, she said, "Last night, I was angry with you for lying to me about who you were." He reached out and pressed his hand to her shoulder.
"I didn't lie."
"You weren't forthcoming." She brushed him off, then slipped a nightgown over her head.
"You made assumptions, and you know what they say about people who do that."
He got up, not caring that he was naked, and walked over to his own bag.
"What do they say?"
He looked over his shoulder at her and saw how she stared at his backside. Grabbing his boxer briefs, he put them on as he tried to think of how to word it delicately.
"That those who make them are the first three letters of the word."
Her lips parted.
"That's not nice to say."
He shrugged, then came back to sit next to her on the bed.
"Either way, I was attracted to you far more than I usually am."
His eyebrows arched, and their shoulders touched.
"And it had nothing to do with my money."
"Impossible. I didn't know you had money until yesterday." She tucked her hair behind her ears and came closer. Since he'd found out he had money, he never once believed women who would have once turned their noses up at him were suddenly wanting to be in his bed. As a poor teenager, girls had been interested in fun and him. As a billionaire, he hadn't met a single socialite interested first in fun or him. Everyone had an agenda. He stood.
"And before that, you were dismissive and bossy."
She followed him, staying on his heels. "I was fighting my attraction to you." Her big blue eyes were a beacon of hope and understanding he'd never fallen for, and many women had tried to get his attention. He crossed his arms.
"Don't go falling in love with me, Scarlet."
"I won't." She rolled her eyes and opened her suitcase again. This time, she found a dress and held it up in the morning light.
"I've been on that train before."
"Train? Love?" She hadn't even blinked at what he said. Perhaps she misunderstood. He lowered his arms.
"What do you mean?"
"Wait." She laid the dress on the bed and dug sandals out from her bag and jewelry from her pocketbook. Finished, she ran to the bathroom to clean up. James was reading the newspaper in bed, still half naked, when she returned in with her towel. She put diamond studs in her earlobes as she looked at him again. When a guy says, "Don't go falling in love with me," it's usually because he's half in love with me already.
"Haughty doesn't even begin to describe you."
He rubbed his chin and considered her while she fastened a necklace around her neck.
A high opinion of herself made sense.
She was beautiful, though her delicate movements made him see her as vulnerable too. She looked away from him for a moment. Again, he saw a flash of something more underneath, and not for the first time thought that she hid who she really was. "We both know what I said is the truth, and for the record, I don't need your money," she said. "We're here to help my career." Something was bothering her. Her slight trembles made her seem almost stricken. Was it what had happened between them? He opened his bag and grabbed a pair of jeans and a green t-shirt to wear.
"True, but we shouldn't have slept together. That was my mistake."
"The marks you left tell me you enjoyed yourself." For a woman who often seemed bashful, her words were the opposite. He tugged the shirt over his shoulders.
"Scarlet, it's been a while for me, but I should have controlled myself.
I won't tell anyone." She lowered her head, but he saw her face became red. If she wasn't upset about last night, then he had no clue what could be bothering her. He took his turn in the bathroom and cleaned himself up, because honestly, he was unsure of what to say. The moment he tugged his pants on, his phone rang, the sound echoing through the silence of their hotel room. He returned to his bag, found his phone, and checked the caller ID.
"Your brother's calling me."
She waved her hand in the air. "Tell him I'm safe." His gaze stayed on her as she wiggled into her dress. It would seem she'd not only taken all of him inside her, but had suffered no ill effect.
"Hey,"
Gabe said, calling James's attention away from the sight in front of him.
We arrested Maddox Murdoch last night. Until we confirm he was working alone, please watch my sister.
Not watching Scarlet might be a bigger issue, but he thought about what had happened in the desert. Images of how he had fought for his life, while an unknown man kicked him in the face, practically blasted into the present moment like a ghost. He blinked, and they were gone.
Years ago, he had partners. Did we ever find out who they were? No.
The unknown assailant hadn't been in the military that he and Harrison both fought and lost against, and had never been discovered. His own commander thought he'd made up the ninja fighting story.
Then keep Scarlet safe until we know more.
No harm would come to his wife under his watch, though he couldn't quite say that to Gabe.
Not a problem. Thanks.
Gabe hung up. For a moment, James kept the phone to his ear, then said to dead air,
"Bye."
He looked over at Scarlet, who had walked over to him at some point during the conversation with Gabe. She lightly bit her lower lip, then let it go. What did he say? The air smelled like roses near her, just like her pillow. No one was going to get to her. He'd made that promise, and meant it still.
That Maddox Murdoch was arrested.
A smile grew on her face. So you're free of your bodyguard duties?
No.
His gut churned as he imagined that anything might harm her. Another flash of the desert, how an assassin had knocked him down when he tried to reach for Gabe. Maddox had help then, and he might have help now. A coldness enveloped him. He wouldn't let someone attack from behind again.
He might have had partners.
But he might be working alone, so your job could be done. She had no memories of what had happened to him or her brother in the desert.
We don't know that yet.
She pointed to his pants, still lying on the bed where he'd left them. Guess you have to get dressed then.
Why?
He tugged the pants on as she adjusted her dress hem so it was straight. I need to go mingle at this conference, and it sounds like you're coming with me.
Scarlet, I haven't been myself with you.
He slipped on his sneakers, wondering for a moment if he should just take her back to bed and keep her there as a way to keep her safe. She walked toward the door, and he came to his senses. Don't pop my bubble, James. I'm feeling good, but I want to know why you married me. Don't say it was to protect me, because clearly it was more. With her hand on the door's handle, he could see she wanted to leave. It was probably best to give her an answer she'd accept right now.
I won't get married to anyone out of love, but if I get divorced, then people might leave me alone and stop trying to pimp their daughters out to me just because I have money.
Welcome to our world. She swung open the door, but he stopped her from walking out. Stepping in front of her, he surveyed the surroundings. That plan might work for a year or two, but then you'll be seen as a possibility by all those searching for a billionaire. She might be right, but he didn't say anything, and walked outside to scope the area, as the hall had an open area that gave them a clear view of the ceiling and the lobby. No one was above them. He looked down. Nobody there either. Satisfied, he motioned for her to walk next to him, near the wall. She closed the door behind her and they walked toward the elevator, as light samba music played on the speakers. Once they made it to the elevator, she pressed the down button. James stood beside her to ensure no one joined them while he made small talk.
So, do you really want to go to work?
What are you suggesting? The elevator arrived with a ding, and the second the doors opened, his heart sped up. It would be better if they never left the honeymoon suite. Quickly, he put his hands on Scarlet's sides, stopping her from getting inside. Then he leaned forward.
You? Me. The patio. I'll let you look over the resort while I take you again.
A smile spread across her face as her cheeks grew rosy. That sounds naughty.
I never said I was a good boy.
He pressed his lips to hers. If sunshine and goodness could be replicated in a human taste, it would be the closest way to describe how Scarlet made him feel. The moment the kiss ended, she rubbed her stomach. She clearly hadn't felt the earth move like he had.
I realize that.
Either way, I'm hungry. If you take me to breakfast, and we mingle a little bit, we can come back here and I promise to do whatever you want.
Whatever I want?
He used his shoulder to block her from sight so no one might see her. She held out her hand as the doors closed. Deal.
Then let's get going.
The sooner he had her in the room, the sooner he'd know she was absolutely safe. Scarlet was his now, and he'd like to keep it that way, for this trip, or quite possibly for the rest of his life.
Chapter 7 Scarlet fidgeted with a pendant around her neck as they walked to the ballroom. James was right behind her, and she could practically feel his stare as she swung her hips. Last night had been the best sex she'd ever had, but she could never tell him that. He was already too bossy, so instead she adjusted her pendant until she had to let it go. At the door to the ballroom where the conference was gathered, she waited for him to open it for her. Once he did, she linked her arm with his and remembered that she was here for a reason. Her mission had nothing to do with the sex that she'd prioritized over her own sanity yesterday. The smell of eggs and bacon hit her heart as they went toward a table. Clearly this hot breakfast offer had tempted all the convention-goers. People were sitting at round tables with white linen cloths talking to each other. At the last second before they took a seat, Scarlet noticed Max Shepard. She had been waiting on his final offer for 2 days. She guided James's arm, and they made their way between the tables. On the way, Braddock stood up and shook James's hand. James glanced at her, and they stopped moving to chat. "Max, it's so nice to see you again," she said. He barely nodded at her.
"Scarlet."
Then he put his hand on the shoulder of a handsome black-haired man about her age, with a smile like her father's.
"Mr. Clancy, allow me to introduce Navid Barampour. He's with AMH.
James's arm became tight, but she refused to look at him. Instead, she looked at the dark-haired man with light blue eyes, who seriously looked like her father in his pictures from 40 years ago, though with more olive in his skin. Navid was clearly light-skinned Mid-Eastern, but with clear blue eyes. He was clearly mixed. She held out her hand to shake. "I've never heard of your company." Navid shook her hand but stared unabashedly at James.
"We're a very exclusive tech company."
They knew each other. Her hair stood on end. James tugged her and tried to lead her to the exit.
"Let's go, Scarlet."
Navid quickly walked away without saying goodbye. Braddock went to the buffet for a second plate. "Why are you on edge?" She let go of his arm. Shepard was so close, and she had to remember her life goals were more important than sex. After this month, she'd have no claim on James, despite how that thought made her stomach churn.
"I'm not."
James glared back at Navid, who had clearly got under his skin. She reached out and squeezed his arm to make a point. "Your muscles are tight." She'd never admit she was jealous, not even a little bit. She came closer. "Did you notice that James always calls me by my first name with that slur of his? While you're Mister? The patriarchy drives me crazy sometimes." From the corner of her eye, she saw Shepard refill his coffee. Her heart raced. Business came first. "His company might be double the size of mine, but I have a long-term growth plan, and his is stagnant."
"This way, Scarlet."
James tried to lead her to the door again. She saw him glance at Navid again, with a steely expression in his gaze. She pressed herself closer and could smell the testosterone that made her body crave him, even more than breakfast. She let out a sigh. "I don't have time to leave because you clearly don't like someone."
"That's not the problem."
The words made her body instantly feel lighter, but then she deflated as he finished.
"Navid worked with Maddox years ago."
Navid was like the male version of her father, and Maddox had tried to kill her parents and her brother. The two facts didn't make sense together, but Maddox was why James had come into her life. She stilled and fiddled with her necklace again. "How do you know?" He pointed to his abdomen. "Navid broke this rib with one kick." "Really?" Her eyes widened as she remembered how she'd kissed every inch of James's skin, but then she felt her face heat and glanced away.
"Don't look interested," he warned, and placed his hand on her back to get her to leave. "He's not the guy for you."
Navid's gaze was too familiar. There was no reason for James to be jealous. She stopped. They were so close to her goal, and it was unlikely she'd be shot down in the middle of a crowd. She swayed on her feet and hoped James stayed next to her in case she made a horrible call. Navid didn't look that dangerous.
His gaze has haunted me for years now.
His gaze or his kick? She glanced over at Navid, who stared back at both of them. Again, the feeling of peace hit her, and she couldn't believe for a second he'd hurt her.
He led her toward the door. Let's go to our room.
I can't. She stepped away from him. If she could just conclude her business, then she could stay out of sight with James. She pointed to the older man at a table. I'm here to meet with Max Shepherd. We have a deal on the table. James slowed her down. I can get your makeup into any store in the world. I'm not using Clancy Industries, ever.
She shook her head like that might stop what he said. You're the CEO's wife.
For a month. And only because she hadn't done a simple online search, like she usually did for everything in her life. If she'd known, she probably wouldn't have insisted on a wedding. She held her head higher. All the more reason to strike out on my own. James stopped short. Navid's sitting over there. She said, tugging his arm. It's doubtful he'll kill us here, where everyone is eating.
2 minutes.
He warned and shook his head. Though he must have realized they had already talked for more than 2 minutes. But she held that thought. She tugged on his arm, and they walked toward the older gentleman, who stood up as they approached. She smiled as they joined him.
Mr. Clancy, Ms. Hawk, it's good to see you both.
James pulled out a chair for Scarlett, and they both sat next to the gentleman.
Scarlett is my wife, Shepherd.
A huge smile grew on Max Shepherd's face, and he said,
That's news. Congratulations.
James wrapped his arms around her. Thank you, she said. We're very happy. Shepherd shook his head.
I'm sure I can't match whatever Clancy offered you, Ms. Hawk.
Clancy Industries had a powerful marketing arm that could get products everywhere, sure, but her relationship with James wasn't going to last. It was better to build her own network. She let go of James and held out her hand to offer a handshake. Sundarata wasn't part of the wedding deals. I still want to make the best deal possible for my company, and I had been looking forward to seeing your final offer. Shepherd reached out and shook her hand.
I'll have my secretary finish it by the end of the week.
Thank you, Max. At least her mission here was a success. Hopefully the contract for Max Shepherd was good, but she probably needed to get a backup offer from Braddock, just in case. James rubbed her spine so she turned toward him. Navid and James had been in a staring contest, but it seemed like Navid had ended the moment first when he spoke to a server about refilling his coffee. James leaned closer to her and whispered,
Let's go, Scarlett.
What? Her heart raced as she saw the final cold stare between the two. With a nod toward him, Navid walked out the door. It should have been easier to breathe, but it wasn't. James pulled on her arm again.
Let's go.
Why? I'm hungry.
We'll get room service. I don't like letting the enemy know where you are.
Okay, whatever. This time, she gave in. She'd accomplished her most important reason for joining the conference, and she valued her head attached to her body. Her spine felt more rigid, but she tried to pretend otherwise. Okay, it was good seeing you, Max. James led her out a different door than they'd entered, which took them outside. The sound of ocean waves splashing onto the shore echoed in her ears, while the sunlight warmed the darkness settling over her. He led her forward. Where are we going?
This way.
The brightness of the sun made her eyesight dim for a moment when they went onto the beachfront patio. He kept the pace and went down to the beach to walk. She wasn't dressed for sand in these heels, but he led her forward, but stayed near the building. She tried to pretend his pace didn't matter to her and that she was safe. The beach is pretty, but I'm not dressed, and you promised breakfast.
Something isn't right, and I don't know what it is.
From the lobby or any floor, anyone can see our door.
There is a back elevator over here for the staff that is safer.
The buzz in the air became automated, and time seemed to slow down as something raced next to her head. She blinked and realized she'd been shot at. James shoved her out of the way.
Go.
Yes. Her fingers dug into his skin and he pulled her toward the docks. She ran as fast as she could and jumped onto the first yacht she saw. He jumped onto the same ship. She could hardly breathe. Why is someone shooting? Is it Navid?
We have to leave.
He made his way toward the cabin. Inside, she'd be less likely to be shot.
Untie the rope, or we're not going anywhere. While he went to untie them from the dock, she raced into the control cabin and turned on the engine. On the monitor, she saw James complete his task, and without waiting another second, she drove the yacht out of its berth. When he entered the control cabin, James seemed surprised.
You know how to operate this thing?
Clearly. Her family never went without, and that included yacht trips to the Caribbean as weekend getaways.
The conference is over.
He took the seat beside her. She made a tsk sound, but didn't say anything else. A backup offer wasn't worth losing her head over when her gut told her Braddock wouldn't be a good investor. She drove further out to sea, but then looked at the gauges. Our passports are in the hotel room.
How much gas do we have?
They couldn't dock at any U.S. port in a stolen boat, and they'd need more gas to get to the nearest island. In our stolen yacht? About half. It won't get us to the next island. He nodded, then pointed at the phone on the control panel.
Call Braddock, Shepard, and Sophie.
Tell them we'll see them at the conference beach party tonight. I saw on your conference schedule.
I find it best to blend into the crowd, but I'll need you to do everything I say and run into the hotel. We'll get our passports and escape before anyone realizes.
That party will be packed. Good idea. They needed a plan of action. Business, and in this case, running for her life, required it. She narrowed her gaze to just his strong shoulders and face. Where do we go?
If I get Wi-Fi, I can get my helicopter here and it will get us to the airport.
Of course. And it's bulletproof?
For years. I've been waiting for Navid Barampur to come at me since I met him years ago.
You thought he'd come at you again, and it wasn't a one-time encounter?
I've never been surprised attacked, not even in juvie.
Okay, then. The sarcasm in her voice dripped, but she could breathe a little easier knowing there was a plan. The single bullet that had missed her echoed in her mind. She reached out, ignoring how her hand shook, and turned off the gas, seeing no ships near them.
Well, I don't think his bullets were intended only for me back on the beach.
At breakfast, Navid seemed kind. She glanced at him. What if it wasn't Navid who was shooting at us? His eyebrows arched.
Who else would it be?
I don't know. It's just a feeling. She turned and stared at him as she clutched her seat to hold still.
In the desert, my job was to protect your brother. Navid broke my arm, but didn't shoot me. When Maddox appeared to have blown up, and we thought he died, he almost took Gabe out.
Navid turned and pulled Gabe out of the fire.
I went over and helped, but then he disappeared.
I don't know his side.
I don't trust him.
If he's after you, then this is about more than just a USB with a computer program on it. Her brother had made his own company based on his skills, and she had nothing to do with his work. Navid said he ran an exclusive tech company.
How did your father make his fortune?
Daddy's company refines foreign oil and ships it to America, Canada, Great Britain, and whoever offers him the most money.
Did your father ever visit the Middle East?
Yes, all over. She'd never been allowed to go with him on business. He said it was dangerous, but he never said people tried to kill him. She thought all that was in the past, and that her parents were fine, but then Maddox shot at her parents. Her throat grew cold. She let go of her chair, but reached for her pendant, as she tried to process what James had said. Besides, who else would shoot them? With luck, he was right. But that might not be good. It'd be easier to defend both of them if they knew who was shooting. James broke the silence.
We need to do research on AMH and Navid.
I just don't get the sense that he's evil. He seems nice, but I could be wrong.
Prince Conor Udine has access to the CIA and FBI mainframes from treaties he's made with the U.S. He'll be able to find out more information on just who Navid is, now that we have his name.
You didn't know his name?
It was a surprise attack. And no, in the middle of the fight, we didn't stop and introduce ourselves.
Oh. Okay. Well, how will you get to him?
I have an app on my phone, courtesy of your brother, but there's no Wi-Fi out here.
She stood up and glanced at the controls. The ship might have a built-in system. She searched the panels and turned on what seemed most likely. Picking up a slip of paper with login info, she handed it to James. I don't know if I want to talk to my brother, but I want us to get home.
My primary objective is to get you to safety.
He patted her lower back as thanks. He quickly typed in the passwords and opened the app her brother had apparently made. Goosebumps grew on her arms. She hugged herself, hoping they'd dissipate. Out here, she was safe. She swallowed. I trust you. It was the truth. James was here to protect her, and it was time she let him.
Chapter 8.
The yacht docked as music blared in the evening sky. Neither of them said anything as Scarlet shut off the engine, and James tied the ship in the same dock. This was the plan. He scanned the area and gave her a thumbs up. It was time to move. As they walked closer, she heard the screams of the crowd singing to the refrain of the song a DJ was playing on the beach. James returned to her side and offered her his hand.
Are you ready?
She buried her face in the muscles of his shoulders. The heat from his body warmed her, though her heart raced in a different way. She stood on tiptoe and said, No, take me again. He raised an eyebrow.
What?
A zap of energy rushed through her spine. If I die today, I want to feel good. He placed his hand on the small of her back and her nerves dissipated. She took a deep breath and stared out at the evening sky. It was time. She let his fingers laced with hers remind her that she was safe.
Scarlet, he said, if we make it to safety with my helicopter, I promise to rip all your clothes off and make you mine.
A giggle escaped her lips. She held out her other hand and raised her pinky finger. Pinky swear?
Are you 12?
He made a tisk sound, shook her pinky finger with his own, and a moment later reached out to open the door. Her heart raced as she remembered the bullet from the last time. Her body refused to move and planted her feet into the ground. Remember, you pinky swore. I'm scared, James.
You'll be fine.
He opened the door and walked out first.
Okay, let's go.
The spotlights of the party were on a crowd of dancing beachgoers. James held her hand and walked her into the crowd. They made a beeline toward the steps to the hotel lobby, but then someone grabbed her arm. She pulled James, and they both stopped. She let go of his hand and wrapped herself around his frame as she said, Braddock, it's good to see you. He didn't look at her again, and instead spoke to James.
The party is perfect. Everyone is thankful for the open bar.
James held her close and with his chin motioned for them to go.
I can see that. I'm just happy to celebrate our wedded bliss on the beach in an event like this.
Her mind raced, but she said, Excuse us, we'll be right back. I forgot my shawl for this evening.
See you soon,
Braddock called out. She felt her body grow cold. She was sure he only meant that for James. Seconds later, her feet met the cold white marble stairs that led inside. She was completely exposed on her left, but then a dark shadow appeared. Within the space of a second, Navid was beside her. James closed the door of the patio and glared at Navid. Navid blocked her other side from anyone else coming close and nodded his head.
James Clancy?
James tugged her arm closer.
Navid, you need to back off, now.
I'm not here to hurt either of you. I was a stupid 18-year-old boy when I last saw you, James. But that's not for now.
Navid stayed on her other side, but she walked faster toward the elevator.
I want to help you both.
James refused to turn the corner away from the crowd in the lobby that spilled over from the bar. Scarlet swallowed and held James tight.
Why would you help? Maddox is here.
Navid kept his voice low so only the two of them could hear him.
He's deranged, and I won't let him hurt you.
Scarlet and James shared a look. What? She said. He's in jail. Navid walked forward and hit the elevator button. James held her hand, but they followed as Navid said.
He was released on bail, and he's seeking revenge against Scarlet. He said Gabe took his sister, so he's going to take one of his in revenge. I'm here to make sure he doesn't get that chance.
James stood in front of her looking at his phone. She assumed he was checking Navid's background. She kept him talking. Why would you help us?
He shot at your parents. I met him when I was an angry 16-year-old boy, and I believed his story then. He's crossed too many lines, and I'm not his friend or associate.
Navid crossed his arms and glared as the elevator doors opened.
I've not heard from him in years, and now he's here. I can't let him hurt innocent women and not do anything.
James pocketed his phone and nodded. Maddox must be free.
Scarlet refused to lose focus on her discussion with Navid. As talking opened up possibilities, she narrowed her gaze.
You helped James before to save my brother.
Navid walked into the elevator and met James's glare again.
A moment later, he focused his stare at her.
She held her breath.
Finally, he said,
To take a file I've never used. Yes, I was young and angry. My father's other children were always more important to him than me. So years ago, I thought the theft was fair, but I don't want my siblings to die because I stood aside and did nothing.
Scarlet tugged James's hand and they followed Navid into the elevator.
Let me understand. You're saying that you're my brother?
The doors closed, and James hit the button for the top floor.
Yes, and you're in danger.
Navid met James's icy demeanor with ease. The light, soft music of the elevator was almost the opposite of the beach party outside. Scarlet smiled. Her heart whispered that he was her brother. He looked like her father, and memories clicked in her head of her mother crying and her father banging on the door. She let go of James and hugged Navid. He didn't return the hug at first, but she slowly patted his back and she said,
Gabe and Olivia would love to talk to you.
The doors opened. Navid pointed toward the open air of the hall.
I don't have the time. James, her right side might be exposed.
James moved slightly to block, but scowled as he led her toward their room. Once they were inside, Scarlet rushed to her bag and grabbed all her things. James took 3 seconds to get his bag and passport off the ground, and Scarlet returned to them a second later with her wheeled bag. James took the handle without question. She turned and bounced as she told Navid,
This is easier than I thought. I was so scared.
Navid, I'm glad you're family. If there is one thing I know about my family, it's that love really bonds us.
I don't know how you believe this.
James opened the door and she held her breath. Navid ignored James's comment.
Scarlet, I haven't had the same experience, but you're sweet. Get your pocketbook.
Scarlet took her bag from the table and followed next to James. Navid even sounded like her father, which was more than her own brother Gabe did. He was like their mother. Another memory floated in her mind of her father saying,
I'm sorry, I swear I'll never cheat on you again.
In the hallway, they walked toward the elevator, but James went past and opened the stairwell doors. The loud sound of an engine and rotating blades echoed, and she knew that the helicopter was waiting for them. She walked up the steps with them, and as James led them out the door to the roof, she reached out and hugged Navid again.
This is so easy with you here. Don't be a stranger. I want another brother.
Go.
The snap of a bullet pierced the air. James reached for her and tugged her away, but Navid's body jerked. Scarlet screamed and reached out for her brother.
She screamed at the top of her lungs.
Navid, you're shot! He pushed her off, pointing toward the helicopter. The turbulence made it hard to hear, but he patted her hand.
I'll be fine. Get on the helicopter, now.
She reached for his hand again. She shouted against the wind.
Come with us.
He followed, but stayed at the helicopter door. Once she was inside, he started to close it.
I'm sorry. Please tell our father. I'll pay him a visit soon.
She reached for the handle, but James stopped her from pushing the door open.
You're not thinking. You have to stay on this helicopter.
Navid met James's stare, nodded, and reached for the helicopter door again.
Don't make me fight you again. Go, and protect my sister.
A man dressed in all black stormed onto the roof.
Scarlet grabbed James's shoulder. Get Navid inside.
Go,
Navid said, and slammed the door closed. She jumped forward, but watched as Navid faded into the blackness and out of sight of the shooter as a helicopter began its ascent. Bullets ricocheted off the metal of the helicopter. James had told her it was bulletproof, but she wasn't quite sure bulletproof helicopters existed. At least nothing came close to them. Her skin felt cold and clammy, and her heart raced. She scanned the roof for her brother, but couldn't see anything. She closed her eyes, sat back, and prayed he was okay. Soon, they were surrounded by the ocean. She curled her legs to her body and hugged herself as she rocked in a ball. James went to talk to the pilot. The sound of the blades overhead didn't comfort her. When James returned, he sat beside her and placed his hand on her knee. She inched closer and let her body relax against his.
I hate that we left him. I really believe he's my brother. He put his hand on the small of her back again. Once again, his touch relaxed her.
Navid is trained. I have faith you'll see him again.
She let her legs go and sat straight, reaching out for him. Hold my hand, James. He kissed her hand.
Scarlet, I have a place in the Keys. No one will get to us there.
Alone might be worse than a hotel. Her body trembled, but she scooted closer to him. How can you be sure?
The only way on and off the island is by helicopter or ship. We'll be safe until the police arrive.
That hadn't appeased her, but she hugged his neck. And what if we do see someone?
My uncle installed a safe room years ago, and I'm not useless.
James, a safe room and paradise. Sounds dreamy. Once she was safe, she'd find out what had happened to Navid. She'd not lose her family now. But James was her rock. Another part of her was excited that they'd have a chance to be alone again.
Chapter 9.
Being alone again with Scarlet was not the best idea James ever had. The helicopter flew away as they stood on the landing pad next to his house. Technically speaking, it was his uncle's old getaway, but everything from his uncle's estate was his now. Scarlet would probably fit better with most of the things he'd inherited than he ever would. He tucked his hands into the pockets of his jeans and turned toward her. She clutched her pocketbook. James? The pointed look at her luggage let him know what he needed to do. He untucked his hands, took her luggage, and offered his elbow in case she wanted to latch on.
Scarlet, this way.
She wrapped her arms around his muscles, and the zap of electricity she set off in him still overwhelmed him. She made no mention of her brother or what had happened today as he opened the door for her. In the foyer, she glanced at the crystal chandelier as her heels tapped against the cappuccino marble floor. This is absolutely gorgeous.
Not as pretty as you.
He placed her bags next to the table she'd set her coach pocketbook on and looked at his well-worn sneakers. She wrapped her arm around his shoulder again, and her nearness made him feel invincible. For a guy who doesn't want a wife or a woman in his life, you are really sweet.
Scarlet, he said, leading her further into his home. No woman I ever met has been anything like you. Her eyes widened as they entered the formal dining area, but she didn't even blink at the granite tables from Italy. She sucked in her breath.
What makes me so special? Again, her softness made him want to hold on to her and not let her go, but at the same time, strip her of all her clothes and claim her as his own in the most primal way possible. No girl he'd ever touched was as soft as Scarlet. He swallowed and tried to push his conflicting thoughts away.
Underneath the surface, you're vulnerable and trying to be more than what you are.
I'm also a spoiled princess. She let go of his hand and opened the veranda doors that led out to the patio. She glided toward the balcony walls and stared out to the swaying palm trees and splashing waters. He stood beside her and folded his hands on the balcony's railing before leaning closer.
All this time, you've said that you're more than that.
She reached for her pendant and clutched it. I want to be. The truth is, I'm scared I'll fail.
Shepard will send his offer.
She looked at him, and her blue eyes shone with a brightness that betrayed her internal vulnerability. What if it's not good? Their shoulders brushed, and his heart sped up. It was time to speak about his own fears, too.
Scarlet, look. I inherited this huge company, and while I enjoy working with the science divisions, my shipping side needs better management. I know what it's like to feel like you're failing.
She squeezed his hand, and that single action made him feel everything would work out. Then she kissed his shoulder and made him feel wanted. They watched the moonlight reflect on the ocean. Neither of them said anything, as the sky became painted with a silver full moon and gave the waves a secret light. Everything was peaceful and beautiful for now. Scarlet finally broke the silence. So, on this island, do we have to make our own food? He turned, admiring how her hair seemed more golden in the evening light. He could feel the instinct to claim her and ravage her rising again, so he held himself stiff and turned toward the house.
My staff should have left plenty of supplies.
So you're cooking it? She giggled, clearly with no idea of the effect she had on him. She bumped playfully into his shoulder. I've always wanted a man who would make me dinner.
Funny.
His fingers ached to rip the dress off her and suckle on her breasts until she begged him to stop. Then he'd push himself hard inside her until she lost all control.
Show me around.
Unaware of his thoughts, she strolled into his house. Once he put his growing erection on ice, he followed. She was inside the door already, so he jogged and caught up.
Fair enough. This is the kitchen.
Banality would help keep him in check. He led her into the kitchen and surveyed what was in the refrigerator. Neither of them had eaten much today. The chicken, lemons, capers, and mushrooms would blend together for a fast meal. She glanced in the refrigerator after him.
Lovely. We have enough supplies to last us for a while. Can't wait to see what you come up with for me to eat.
You'll have to wait and see. Come.
He walked away as she came too close. She needed to stay away for her own protection. He waved for her to follow, and once she was near the bay windows with him, he said,
"This is the living area, which has a nice view of the Atlantic."
She went down a step, and then inched closer to the furniture.
I'd love to curl up with a book on that couch.
Books? He never came here, so he'd never had a reason to stock up on anything like books.
He shrugged. You can look around for a book, but I doubt we have any paperbacks here. You can use my iPad.
My sister Olivia might have died from that statement. She loves reading more than talking.
Glad it's just you and me here, then.
Some distance would be good for both of them. She was Gabe's sister, and what happened last night could be thrown up as a one-night stand. Scarlett deserved someone better than him. She deserved someone who could protect her and be worthy of her.
Maybe tomorrow, she said. Where are we sleeping?
We implied she thought they were going to be sleeping together. His body hardened again, so he walked past her and led her down the hall.
The guest room is here.
She didn't blink, but also didn't go inside. Glancing down the hall, she continued her leisurely stroll toward his room. And where's the master bedroom?
Here.
He pointed, though she had already opened the door. They both peered at the king-size bed in the center of the room. She held her wrist in front of her and nodded.
Then we'll sleep here.
You don't have to.
If she touched him, he thought he'd drill her so hard that she'd lose the ability to focus. But he kept that thought to himself. She walked to the bed and felt the mattress, then glanced up at him with a smile on her face.
It's not about having to do anything. I want to.
Are you sure?
He kissed her. Hard.
Yum.
She said as he took a breath, but then he kissed her again. Her sweet lips tasted like the nectar of the gods spoken of in stories, and he wanted nothing more than to lick every part of her. A soft sigh echoed in his ear, and he let her go. That grin of hers had undone him. She wasn't as independent as she pretended to be. How nervous she was came through in her gaze, and made him want to keep her safe. He walked toward the door. He needed to figure out what he wanted from her. If he took her, he'd have to explain himself to Gabe. He let that thought simmer, but said nothing else. She followed him to the door.
Tell you what, I've had a long day. I'll get us something to eat. You get the wine, and after we eat, we'll see what happens.
I don't want pressure for anything else today.
Scarlett, you deserve to be happy, and get a diamond ring from a man you adore and who is worthy of you.
He chose his words carefully because he wouldn't let his guest cook for him. He could handle dinner. Walking into the kitchen, he took out what he needed to make stir fry.
You get the wine.
I already have a diamond ring, and it's lovely. Without another word, she took out green beans in a pot. Clearly, she wanted to do something in the kitchen as well, and he wasn't going to stop her. He raised his eyebrow.
You bought that yourself.
I have the best taste.
Always have.
She batted her eyes and shrugged her shoulders like he should agree. Even if you'd gone to the store for me, it would have been this one in the end, so I saved us both some time.
There's that healthy ego of yours.
He shook his head, then heated the frying pan and reached for a few ingredients in the refrigerator. She stood next to him at the stove and looked at the pan.
What are you cooking?
Lemon and walnut chicken stir fry.
He added a splash of olive oil to hear the crackle of oil and added in the vegetables.
If there was one thing he knew how to do that impressed all his dates, it was cooking.
It helped him figure out everything else in his life.
I'm impressed. She sniffed the air.
He stirred as she stared at him. Her nearness made him want her, but there was also a sweetness to her presence that made him want more than just sex. It was in her gaze, but there was no way she would love him, but he'd never say that. Then he heard the peas snap in the pan that she wasn't watching. He pointed to it.
"What's your side dish?"
"Shoot." She blinked and lifted the lid as she took the pot off the burner. Then she sucked on her bottom lip. "Slightly burnt canned peas?" Most of the peas would be fine, just the ones near the pan were ruined. He took the pot from her and shook the peas into his pan.
"We'll just add that to the stir fry. Don't worry about it."
Once he was done, she scrubbed the pot and put it on the dryer rack without being asked. A minute later, she bumped into him and said, "Then I'll get the wine and plates prepared."
"Sounds good."
He wanted to kiss her. Once she left, the air near him felt colder. He turned up the heat and finished cooking. When the stir-fry was done, he put it on a serving tray and carried it out to meet her. She had already poured them both wine and was enjoying the full moon in the night sky. She turned and said, "Wow, smells delicious." His face felt hot, even though stir-fry wasn't that impressive. If they were on a date at his actual home and he'd cooked for them, he'd have prepared a feast.
"It's nothing. This was fast, and you said you were hungry."
He scooped the stir-fry onto both of their plates and set the rest in the middle. She pointed toward the ocean. "Dinner with this view, and no one wants to shoot me? This is amazing." She was fun, enticing, and easy to talk to. They ate in silence for a bit, and then, when he was no longer hungry, he asked,
"How do you know Navid is your brother? You accepted it without question."
She lowered her fork, and her face blushed as she looked down. "If he is my brother, then my father never told me or my siblings, but I think he might have told my mom." Gabe had never responded to his text about Navid, but then again, he wasn't sure it sent from the helicopter. He ought to check, but that wasn't important right now. He brushed some of Scarlett's blonde hair out of her face.
"What makes you think that?"
She put her fork down and reached for his hand. "I remember some small things, like when I was a little girl. My parents didn't talk for a few years. I always felt if I did something, they might laugh or cry or say something to each other. And then, like magic, the tension would go away. Everything became better when my father stayed home more and stopped flying everywhere, though. If Scarlett's father had a child, he'd ensure it was taken care of and not left alone. Not like he was." He tried to understand.
"So your father knew about Navid?"
"I don't know," she said. "But I do think my parents worked out some issues between them 20 years ago. And now that I'm an adult, I'm pretty sure it was an affair. If her mother was anything like Scarlett, cheating was foolish. He didn't know her parents, but he could be there for Scarlett. If his uncle had reached out to his mother, even once, she might be alive. And he wouldn't have so much bitterness built up inside his gut. The bitterness was what kept him from her joy and warmth."
"When this is all over and you can go home, you should ask them."
"Oh, I will." She placed her napkin on the table and stood up, holding out her hand. "Take me to bed and make love to me all night long, James. I need you." He lost the ability to fight his attraction for her in the face of that request. He stood up and reached under her knees to pick her up.
"Are you sure?"
"Absolutely." He lifted her, and she kissed him as he carried her toward their bed.
Chapter 10. Scarlett woke up to James shaking her. She moaned, but he shouted,
"Get up!"
The air sparked, and then it felt like something buzzed past her as the window shattered. James threw himself over her and rolled them off the bed. He put his shirt and boxers on, and his clothes scratched her naked skin. She grabbed her bra and underwear from the floor near her bed. "What was that?" He led her toward the door and shoved her into the hall as he closed the door behind him.
"Someone landed. Follow me."
"James, you're bleeding." She glanced backwards, but he pushed her forward. She walked, but tugged her underwear on. A second later, he pressed a button and opened the wall across from the guest bedroom. She tightened her bra and ran. Bullet holes laced the bedroom door, and she threw herself onto the ground. He turned and grabbed her arm to drag her inside.
"Scarlett, get in."
It must be the promised safe room. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw a man with brown eyes. The walls around her seemed to reverberate with coldness. She couldn't even scream. But in a second, she was in total darkness. Her entire body became petrified, and she couldn't think anything except James has to be here. If she could open her lips, she'd call out for James. First, she needed the ability to breathe. She tried to get up, but wobbled. In a flash, she heard a bang. "James, where are you?"
"Hold on,"
James shouted, and she heard metal bolts locking together. Safe room. Safe. They would be fine. She repeated the words in her head, but stayed on the ground hugging her knees to her until the lights flickered on. Her hands shook, but she could breathe easier once she saw the blue hue of his gaze. "James, is this the safe room?"
"Yes. Maddox could drop a nuclear bomb on us, and we'll survive. My uncle was paranoid, thankfully."
A bunker on a tropical island. She rubbed her arms to get rid of the goosebumps and to stop shaking. "What if we drown?" His gaze narrowed, and he stopped moving.
"How?"
"A bunker on an island can't be underground, and islands are at low sea levels." Okay, that sounded more like science fiction now that she'd said that out loud. But her mind wasn't clear right now. She clutched a table with a computer sitting on it, and somehow hoped the steadiness of the room would straighten her out, too.
"We're watertight. I told you, my uncle was paranoid. We'll be fine."
"I know I should be calmer, but I'm scared."
"Relax. We'll be out of here long before we have time to flood."
He kissed her cheek. Rational thinking would save them. She took a deep breath and nodded. "You're right. What do we do?"
"Call your brother and the police."
He pointed with his left hand, and she peered at the blood that stained his shirt on the right. She had to help him. She jumped to her feet and walked around him to assess how bad it was. On his left shoulder and the back, there was a clear bullet hole. "How? You're hurt. We have to stop the bleeding."
"I'll be fine."
He waved her away and sat at his laptop. "Let me see." Years ago, she'd had emergency training. Though it seemed like it happened in a different life, she could remember and help. First, she had to know how bad this was. She tugged at his shirt. He winced and handed her a satellite phone.
"Get your brother on the phone. I'll get my shirt off."
He lifted his shirt, and her gaze focused on those sexy abs of his while he peeled away his ruined green t-shirt. Then her brother answered. "Gabe, it's me," she said.
"Scarlett, where is James?"
Once again, Gabe probably assumed she would never know anything. She swallowed and let that childish thought go. Right now, they needed to get James to a hospital. She put the conversation on speaker and said, "He was shot. We're in his safe room, on his island in the Keys."
"Is he there?" "Yes, I'm here."
He dropped his shirt on the table beside them.
"What do you need?"
Gabe asked. She wasn't needed on the phone, so she stood and checked James's shoulder. Behind him, she had a better look at the wound, and it seemed fixable. It was possible that there weren't any bullet fragments inside, but if there were, they would poison his body. She chewed on her lip and then went into the bathroom to look for medical supplies. James answered her brother.
"Maddox has a high-speed boat and access to military-grade semi-automatic. You should have the location."
Gabe said,
"I've sent people, and they'll be there in 10 minutes. Stay safe."
Good. That sounded final. Her nursing skills would hopefully only be needed for the hour, and she'd not worry about dying from a flash flood or global warming anymore.
"I'll ensure nothing happens to your sister."
"Scarlett,"
Gabe said,
"you used to want to be a doctor."
At least he remembered something good about her. She stopped chewing her lip, picked up the plastic bag of surgical bandages she'd found, and placed them on the table. "I'm already on it, but I'm glad you remember. James was shot in the shoulder. The wound looks clean, but I don't have supplies to really check, and if help will be here soon, it's better to keep the wound dry." Gabe warned,
"Don't be brave and try to leave, sis."
There he went, making her sound foolish. She opened the bag with a bit more of a rip than expected. "I like my head attached to my body." She studied James's puncture wound as he finished the conversation with Gabe. A few minutes later, he hung up. Neither of them said anything. She took her time and used some gauze to clear the area to see exactly how deep the wound was. Suddenly, the room was pounded with deafening noise, and she used her hands to cover her ears.
James!
He stood and massaged her shoulders. He's shooting at the door. We're fine. The noise lessened. Neither of them were hurt, but her hands trembled nervously anyway.
I don't like the sound.
You didn't soundproof this bunker? She uncurled her fingers and wished her heart wasn't racing still.
I didn't build it, so I didn't think to add more to it.
But you're sure we're safe? He massaged her shoulders and hugged her with his left arm.
Absolutely. I read the design schematics.
When we get out of this, make it soundproof.
Okay.
For a second, he didn't say anything. She held her stomach, unable to believe she was here. He broke their silence first.
You wanted to be a doctor?
A long time ago. She stepped out of his embrace and returned to her tools. In high school, I like science.
That doesn't fit in with the spoiled princess you think you are.
She motioned for him to sit in the chair. I never said I was stupid, just lost. He sat down and stared at her through the nearby mirror.
So, how's my shoulder?
If they were going to be in here for 24 hours, then he needed help now. Hopefully, that wasn't the case, so she held still. She hoped he wouldn't fight her if she had to help. She glanced at the clock and chewed on her lip. It was better for him if she helped now. She picked up the tools, choosing wisely.
Well, I'd like to get out the bullet, if that's okay with you.
If you know how, please.
He lifted his shoulder, but a second later winced. With one more glance at the tools she'd removed from their plastic wraps, she nodded. At least she had everything she needed. She cleaned his wound, then picked up the metal tool for extraction, but froze when she was about to touch him. This might hurt, but I have no idea how long we'll be in here. He nodded.
Just do your best.
It's quiet now, she said, and hoped he'd keep the conversation light. With a small prayer under her breath, she pushed in and locked on the bullet. A monitor beeped. She refused to look, and continued to tug out the bullet.
He's circling the bunker to see how big it is.
Okay, she'd not think about Maddox right now. Her hand stayed steady. She wouldn't hurt James, despite how fast her pulse was.
Well, that's just lovely.
She slowly removed the bullet. Time and a real doctor would figure out if there were long-term effects, but she hoped not. As she dropped the bullet on the tray, he'd have a nasty scar, but he should be good for now. She cleaned the area again, then bandaged him up, satisfied. The silence continued outside. James took her hand once she was done with a roll of gauze.
Your brother's cavalry will be here soon.
Conversation helped her stay in the here and now. She sat beside him and asked,
Did you know Gabe is now dating Maddox's sister, Megan?
I guess that. She seemed nice on the phone.
He shifted his weight to be closer to her. At least you talked to her. I've refused, but my parents already think she's lovely and perfect, despite the fact her brother shot them. The tone of jealousy in what she said hit her hard, but the truth was she had no reason to think that. Her parents loved her, and I get that she's how we even know her brother was the one after my family, and that's how they met. I just have a hard time believing her story, that Maddox wasn't the same man her brother was as a child. If the situation reversed, though, I don't think I could fall for my enemy's family. He brushed her hair out of her eyes.
Sounds like your parents have big hearts, like you.
I don't have a big heart. I just said I haven't talked to her.
You readily accepted Navid into your definition of family. No one ever did that for me when it came to my own blood.
That's just stupid on their part.
You say that because you have a big heart, and you'll talk to her in person, which is probably what you're waiting for.
Something flashed on the tablet and reflected in the mirror. James stood up and went to get the tablet.
Don't move.
Wouldn't dream of it, she said, but she hoped this was all over. She folded her arms in front of her and prayed. I'm tired of being scared, and it's strange you know me already like that.
Your heart is your most attractive quality.
She had no words. He rejoined her on the seat and showed her the tablet with the video feed.
Maddox is running. The helicopters are here.
She peeled her gaze from him. There was no reason she'd ever see him again once he no longer protected her and her business deal was done. She stroked her neckline, wishing she'd kept her silly necklace on in her sleep earlier. Does this mean we're no longer going to be alone? He put the tablet down and stood up.
Yes, don't worry. Our marriage will end just like you wanted it to. I won't fight you on it.
No. If she'd learned anything these past few days, it was that he was perfect and that she wanted to be with him. She wanted him to say, I love you.
The thought wouldn't leave her alone, but she kept silent.
Instead, she asked, James, what if Shepard's offer doesn't help me? He turned toward her, and this time it sounded like he was distant and far away already.
Then consider mine a backup. You know you can name your terms with me.
No, not really. They were done. Okay, she murmured. Thanks. There was no way she'd do anything but remain silent now. She couldn't force him to love her. Any tears she'd shed over this would be alone and into her pillow, where he couldn't see. Somewhere along the way, she'd fallen in love with a man who never wanted to be married.
Chapter 11.
Sitting in Jackson Memorial, the closest hospital to Miami International Airport, James nodded at the last thing the doctor said concerning his condition. The doctor closed his chart as the door opened.
Your wife did a good job patching you up.
The woman who might never love him back stood in the doorway. The doctor moved aside as James stood up from the edge of the bed he was sitting on. He went over to Scarlett and took her hands.
Scarlett, what are you still doing here? I thought you were going to stay with Gabe while I was here.
She looked at him, and the vulnerability in her gaze caught him off guard again. The blue in her eyes shone. I didn't want to just come home and for us not to talk. And besides, you know that's not going to work.
Are we done, Doc?
James asked, turning around without letting her go. If this was his last chance to hold her, then he wanted to let the moment linger.
Yes, you two both can go.
James placed his hand on the small of Scarlett's back and walked her out of the hospital room and into the hall. The sooner they left, the sooner he'd have to explain that he was her bodyguard again. At least that meant he'd spend more time with her. But this was all too much. As the elevator opened, he said,
Thanks for checking up on me.
Neither of them said much, as they were crowded in with other patients, their family members, and nurses. When they reached the first floor, people were everywhere. But luckily, it was like there was a parting of the Red Sea in the crowd. Without a word, he led her toward the front door. She tugged on his arm. James, I want to talk. Right now, he couldn't look her in the eye. If he let this conversation start, then their relationship might be over. She had always been clear about what she wanted. They stopped moving, and Scarlett placed her hand on his cheek.
Scarlett, he said, I don't want to say goodbye to you when everything is over.
In the lobby, people brushed past them, but no one stopped. Sometimes the safest place to have a conversation was with people everywhere. I don't want that either, she said.
You don't?
His heart stirred. She puckered her pink lips. I'm in love with you. His entire body felt warm, and his pulse raced with excitement. Then his lips met hers. Her kiss was better than any sugar-filled sweet. She made him feel whole. When they parted, he put his hand on the small of her back and led her outside into the steamy heat. He raised his hand, and his car came for them. The driver hopped out and came round to open the door. James turned to Scarlett.
Get in the car.
She got in without a struggle. At least she was protected here, and the glass was bulletproof. The driver closed the door, and she massaged James's cheek to get his attention. I know you don't love me, but I wanted to say this. I never wanted our adventure to end, mostly because I didn't want to lose you.
Don't love you?
The driver rolled the window up between him and them, so they were utterly alone in the back seat. James scooted closer to her, and their knees brushed.
Scarlett, are you sure?
She lowered her lashes. That I love you? Absolutely. Everything inside him screamed that this was it. He took a breath. You're the only woman who touches my heart and sees who I really am. Scarlett Hawk, I love you too. Her eyes widened. And a moment later, she jumped into his lap and kissed his chin on her way to his lips. so she saw his smile. Then she closed her eyes and kissed him fast. Everything was perfect. When she ended it, she said, "James, why didn't you say anything?" His body grew hard from her touch, and he adjusted her so it would be less obvious.
"I thought you wanted a divorce, and to prove to your parents that you can make it on your own without me or them."
She pushed her hair out of her face and then hugged him. "I was pretty stupid. What matters is love and being with the people we cherish." She smelled like home and flowers all mixed together. Before she came into his life, he'd been a shell of a person. The knowledge that he'd never repaid her brother left him cold. He helped her sit beside him again, and folded his hands between her legs.
"I betrayed your brother's trust."
She made a tisk sound with her voice. "He won't see it that way, and I don't care about his opinion anyway. But we can visit my parents tonight for dinner. I'm sure Gabe and Megan are coming, though I think Olivia is still out of town."
"Connor has a country to run, and your sister to protect at the same time."
He had no more knowledge about her dark-haired sister, but he could assume Scarlett would speak to her parents about Navid. He'd be there for her. He traced her thigh. Scarlett emanated goodness and beauty, and she lit up the car with her presence beside him. He looked at the curves of her body, but skipped her gaze.
"Gabe still insists we all protect you," he said. "If you hadn't shown up at the hospital, I was going to find you and not tell you how I feel."
I would have cried. He looked at her. She knew exactly how to get his attention. She winked. "So, since we're already married, I was thinking I need to see where you live and get my things moved in. Take me home before we go see my parents?" Star Island was home to movie stars, basketball players, and a few elites, like the Morgan estates and his own. The driver stopped in front of his 20-bedroom mansion and a moment later opened the door for them. James held out his hand and helped her out.
"We're here."
"So this is your estate in Miami." She turned around and glanced at the quiet street. With a nod of approval, she turned on her heels and followed him inside. "My parents are in Coral Gables, near University of Miami." He was about to answer that she'd grown up in New York and moved to the old guard community with standards, but his butler called his attention and pointed toward the library. He curled his fingers with Scarlett's.
"Strange. Someone is waiting for us."
The butler gave him a business card, and he read it, then led Scarlett to the library. His lawyer, Sienna, who they'd met on the day they married, stood near the door. She held out her free hand and shook his. Then she nodded at Scarlett. She clutched a few folders in the other hand. He stayed with Scarlett but asked,
"Sienna, how are you?"
"James, it's great to see that you're happy and healthy," she said and winced at his arm that was half covered under his dark blue t-shirt. A second later, he reached for his wife.
"This is my wife, Scarlett."
"I remember. You were beautiful at the courthouse." She held out her hand and shook Scarlett's as well. "Nice to formally meet you. I'm James's estate attorney." Scarlett nodded politely. "Nice to meet you officially."
"Is there a problem?" James asked.
The sooner they were alone again, the better. He had plans to help Scarlett out of her pink dress. Sienna handed him one folder she held. "I received an offer from a Mr. Shepherd that I found strange, and wanted to bring it to your attention as it concerned your new bride."
"Thanks,"
he said, then opened the folder to read what was there. Sienna quickly waved and showed herself out. "Nice seeing you both. Goodbye."
Once the hall stopped clanking from high heels on his bamboo floors, and the butler closed the door, Scarlett wrapped her arms around his.
"What does it say?" He handed her the file with possible contracts, but pointed to the section Sienna had highlighted.
"He wants to know if I'd oppose his takeover of your company, as buying you out would be a more long-term solution for his company."
"What?" She crossed her arms and glanced toward the ceiling. "And here I thought I could trust him."
He walked her out of the library and into the main house, where there was a huge ballroom with a view of the intracoastal waterways beyond grand doors. He'd prefer to strip her out of her clothes and claim her body, but they should probably talk this over first.
"Scarlett, I know you value your makeup brand.
I'd rather we merge and let people like Shepherd find other people to prey on."
She went on her tiptoes and kissed his cheek. "I trust you'll put in writing an amazing contract where we both find an agreement."
I'll get Sienna to draw that up tomorrow.
He walked her forward, nearer the staircase that led upstairs to his bedroom, and the balcony that reminded him of Romeo and Juliet's, in the play his middle school teacher made them all see.
What do you think of my house?
With a soft sigh, she brushed her hands against the stubble of his cheeks, and leaned forward for a kiss. Encouraged, he wrapped his arms around her and claimed her offer. Her kiss was like a magic spell. As it ended, she said, I think you need to get me to the bedroom. Now.
Yes, ma'am,
he said and led her up the stairs. They had hours to be together before dinner, and if she loved him, then he'd have to find a way to keep her forever. Hopefully, her brother would forgive him.
Chapter 12.
So much had changed so fast. Scarlett held her breath and took James's hand as they stood outside the fiberglass and composite front door, designed to look like cream wood. Her parents had paid top dollar for their fancy doors. James stood beside her in a pale blue button-down shirt that he had worn for her. The maid finally answered the door, and Scarlett led him to the living room, where her parents usually entertained. The moment they saw everyone, James's hand stiffened. She squeezed it a little to offer encouragement, and then let go as her mother came to hug her. The second her mother stopped hugging her, Scarlett pointed to her husband. Mom, Dad, Gabe, Megan, this is James. Gabe refused to move from his seat on the couch, but said,
Yes, we know.
He whispered something to Megan. No, you don't. Scarlett crossed her arms and glared at her annoying older brother. Her mother, always the pacifist, said, What don't we know? Right. This was the time for truth. She swallowed, stood closer to James, who hadn't moved a muscle, and said, Mom, this is James Clancy, my husband. Gabe stood up with his eyes wide open.
James, you are supposed to guard my sister.
James's face went white. She stood in front of him and shook her head. Gabe had no business in her life. I insisted the only way he could come with me to guard me was if he married me. Her father covered his mouth with his hand.
Scarlett, why would you do that?
Gabe asked. James looked sick, but stayed still. Her gaze flickered to her father, who lowered his hand. She needed to explain. I wanted to impress Max Shepard and prove that I was smart in business without my parents or my brother. I wanted to prove to myself and to you that I was savvy and could make my own way, without family money. My reputation is someone who shops all the time, and I needed to show the world that I was stable and trustable.
Her father said, Scarlett, you could have asked me or your brother to invest. You don't need a snake like Shepard.
I understand that now. She lowered her head. Her father had always said the only people she could ever depend on were her family, but she had been so determined to make it without them that she almost signed with someone out to steal from her. And I also get that James and everyone in this room are the only ones that truly matter. Gabe shook his head.
How did this transformation happen?
Again, sometimes it seemed like Gabe cared, and other times it was like he always wanted to judge her, and this conversation was going down the wrong path. She clasped her wrist in front of her. Max went behind my back and asked James's permission to try to take over my company, which was always his plan. Her father said,
Honey, we would love to help you.
Right. Love. She loved James and needed her parents back on that conversation. She licked her lips and glanced at James, who was holding his hands together like he was in the military. That's just it. I didn't want help, and I forced James into marrying me. Her mother sat in her chair and fanned herself. Oh, honey.
Wait.
James stepped forward and stared at Gabe.
Scarlett is the most amazing woman I've ever met, Gabe. I know I was just supposed to babysit her, but I fell in love with her, and I want to ask you if you can forgive me.
I love him, too. Scarlett squeezed his hand. Her mother and father both had wide eyes, and huge smiles grew on their faces. Her brother ignored her.
Forgive you for what? I betrayed your trust.
James met Gabe's eye contact, but waited for a reaction. Her mother stood up.
Finally, her annoying brother Gabe walked toward them and circled them like they were prey. James held her hand a little firmer, so she knew he was tense, but then her brother held out his hand.
You saved my life. James, there is no one I'd like better for Scarlet than you, now that I think about it. You even out each other's edges.
So we're good?
James shook his hand.
I'm great, though marriage to my sister might end in disaster for you,
Gabe said.
So good luck.
Stop, Scarlet said. James put his hand on her back, and she felt they were whole. Not even her brother could destroy the news. Then Gabe called out for the dark-haired Megan. He held her shoulders and brought her forward.
Scarlet, this is Megan. She was shy to meet you after what her brother did.
Scarlet froze. Megan kept her head down, and her face was red.
He's in jail again, and this time he won't get bail.
No judgment. Scarlet reached out and hugged her. Megan hugged her back, and she saw how her brother breathed a sigh of relief. When the hug ended, she saw the glance between her brother and Megan, and realized they were in love. Scarlet said, "That's good. Megan, the way my brother looks at you makes me think we should be best friends. I know exactly how to annoy him, and I'm willing to share the knowledge." Megan smiled.
"Scarlet, I would love for us to be friends."
"Yeah." She did her little victory dance for when she won. James whispered in her ear,
"Navid."
Right. They had something else to discuss. Something big. They all walked into the living room, and she waited for her parents to claim the love seat that they'd sat on together for years now. She and James chose the chairs opposite them, and Gabe poured wine. Then she pushed her hair out of her face and said, "Mom, Dad, when we were in Grand Bohemia and escaping with our lives, we met Navid Barampur. He said he was my brother, and that's why he wanted to help me."
Her father's face went white. "Navid Barampur? The man in the desert years ago who fought you and then helped you, Gabe, is the same Navid,"
James added.
"You're joking."
Gabe handed James his glass of wine. Scarlet saw her mother's face went red, and her father grew pensive. She waited and hoped that what happened years ago shouldn't matter anymore. James continued,
"Gabe, Navid said he helped Maddox steal from you, but never used that information, and refused to let anyone die. The day you met him in the desert, he helped ensure that you were safe after fighting with me."
"Navid must have been young and angry at her father," Scarlet added. Her mother glanced at her father and squeezed his knee, and then said,
"Your father had an affair with Jasmine Barampur before Olivia was born."
So she'd guessed correctly and put the pieces together. She lowered her lashes to not look directly at her father and said,
"Dad, is it possible that Navid is my half-brother?"
"It wasn't a lie," he answered in a soft voice.
"Yes, but Jasmine never said anything."
"True." Her mother linked her arms with her father.
"But we paid her $2 million to disappear. It's enough to raise a child."
Her mother met Scarlet's stare.
"If she told your father, he'd have never left a son. You know he cares about children."
"I'd like to meet my son," her father said.
The room went quiet. Her parents stayed close to each other in their chairs, and neither said a word. Everything seemed calm. Scarlet broke the silence. "Navid said he'd try to come by for Christmas." Gabe held Megan's hand.
"Dad, if what James said about Navid is true, then he's a fighter. I never saw anyone with that much skill. I want you both to be safe, in case his intentions are not a family reunion, but revenge."
Her brother still believed the Maddox threat would continue in the near future. She swallowed.
"Gabe."
"I want our parents to be safe," her brother finished.
Scarlet shook her head.
"You, James, and all of us will do everything, but Navid saved me. We always have each other, and there's room for one more.
Gabe, trust me."
"I do."
Megan stroked Gabe's knee. He glanced at his girlfriend and nodded at her. Then he turned his attention back to Scarlet.
"So let's celebrate your wedding. You do realize that Mom is going to insist on throwing a big wedding celebration."
A huge wedding with all the trimmings played out like a fairy tale in her mind, including James in a nice suit, preferably the gray one he hated. But if he insisted, then black was fine. She squeezed his arm and stared into his blue eyes. The love she had for him wouldn't change, with or without the fantasy. But the fantasy was fun. She returned her gaze to her parents. For one-on-one time with Mom, I'd love it. And I'm so happy you all accept James, because I love him. Dad, James is going to help with my company, but I'd love for you to back my makeup too. It's organic, and we're really growing fast.
Between the two of us and your vision, there'll be no stopping you, Scarlett, he replied.
James then joked,
Is there a way to stop Scarlett from doing anything she wants?
No,
Gabe answered. She stood up and James followed, then kissed her forehead. The world was right, and it felt like Christmas, even though it wasn't. She had James and her life was complete. His lips on her skin made her ache for the lifetime of togetherness. Gabe passed out champagne glasses and found a bottle of champagne in the cabinet. Once everyone had a glass, he said,
To James and Scarlett, may they live happily ever after.
James kissed her, and the world faded away. They were together and happy, and life was working out. With her family and the man she loved, Scarlett had everything. This has been Tempting James, The Hawk Fortune Book 2, written by Victoria Pinder, narrated by Nicole Blessing. Copyright 2018 by Love in a Book. Production copyright 2018 by Love in a Book.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.